Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantzis up for another day of broadcast insolence.
A lot going on in the political world, but, Ro, I did notice there is a small ray of hope that I saw amidst all the rest when Chelsea Clinton, did you see that, stuck up for Barron Trump?
Yes.
And I thought that was really big, and it really felt great that she reached across the aisle and did that. And she's right, saying that, you know, he was being criticized online for his clothing and that he's not start dressing the part if you're going to be in the Oval Office in the White House. It's like, he's 11.
He's not in the Oval Office.
He's 11.
He doesn't want to be there. And that's why Melania didn't want to make him go there. And quite honestly, she doesn't want to be there either. Let's be honest.
Right.
They wanted to stay in New York in the nice apartment that the president wants to stay in, too, that he bragged about last night. I'm sorry. If you don't think the guy's unhinged, when he got to that part, we're talking about, and I got a big, beautiful place, nice apartment, nicer than anybody else's apartment. I mean, maybe we're the elite. The people are
weird.
Right? The guy making $40,000 at Just Tires that is in the audience right now, who's just worked a shift in 110-degree heat.
Right. He was trying to take a shot at the elite press. I went to better schools. I live in a bigger, more beautiful. Yeah, that whole thing.
This.
So that was my words. Now, you know, I was a good student. I always hear about the elite. You know, the elite, they're elite. I went to better schools than they did. I was a better student than they were. I live in a bigger, more beautiful apartment. And I live in the White House, too, which is really great. I think, you know what? I think we're the elites. They're not the elites.
He did say that.
Oh, God. Okay.
Just thought when he was relitigating the whole Charlottesville thing, line by line, I think he even lost his crowd there. Did you notice people starting to sort of look around the room?
The Washington Post did a story about what happened during the speech as people sat down, started getting on their phones, taking pictures, conversations broke out. You know you've lost the audience when they start talking to each other. It's like when you're doing it's a rare moment where you don't do like a, in our business, we'll go out and we'll MC some fundraiser somewhere, right? And the fundraiser, those people who paid the money to be the fundraiser, they're there to pay the money to the fundraiser, and they're there to eat the dinner, and then they don't care what's going on the stage because they figure it's going to be more people hocking them for money. And there's a lot of talking. You know, you're trying to get their attention and trying to go, and now coming up is the executive director of the foundation. And then people are like, we don't give a crap.
Yeah,
you know, whatever it is.
It's so hard to get people's attention.
Right. So the Washington Post did a story last night being sort of two-thirds of the way back to the back of the room. And that's exactly what had happened. He'd lost the audience. He started leaving. They were kind of, because he went on for an hour and 20 minutes.
He repeated,
and it was hot.
Just about every line of his speech from Charlottesville, other than the one that made news, where he said both sides.
Right.
Repeated
he quoted
all
himself,
it,
but not exactly accurately. It's hard to not quote yourself accurately, although I have made a career out of that. I didn't say that. It's a funny thing I said that.
That wasn't
me.
No.
Would have never said that.
Never said that.
Oh, there's a record of that? I don't recall that, Your Honor.
So it just it's a fascinating night because then it was the different tone again today. We saw the other side where he was more on the prompter and very different tone.
Well, they're getting if they can get 66% performance out of him, I think that they're gonna. I think John Kelly's gonna take that as a huge win. It was a weird moment, though, man. It was. I got that sense that part that we just played, I thought was the weirdest moment. Well, he has constantly got to brag.
Yeah, it's a competition.
About himself. He's the president of the United States. You don't have to brag. And by the way, the president of the United States should be a pretty humble position, even though it's not, right? It should be. The president, I've never known a president not to be humble. Even our crazier presidents. I mean, even Nixon, right? He was completely humble about it. He was wacky, but he was completely humble about it.
Or at least, you know, act like you're a representative of the people. It's not a competition about how elite you are.
Right. And they said, well, you know, Barack Obama wasn't humble. Well, all right. It was. He may have been less humble than George W. Bush was, but he's certainly not what Donald Trump is doing. And is this what it is? Because I was thinking about this. Like social media, I don't know if people have seen the story about the African-American. The guy who held up the Blacks for Trump sign in the back of the, he was in back of the president. He's been in back of the president a number of times.
Pretty prominent last night. He had the big sign.
And he looks just like the Robert Downey Jr. character from Tropic Thunder.
Like identical.
Identical to the Robert Downey. The movie Tropic Thunder is a farce about making a war movie. Mm-hmm. And Robert Downey Jr. plays an Australian white actor who's so method that he wants to play a black role. So he becomes a black actor for the duration of making the film. And even off camera, he's acting as though he's the character. And they're like, you know, no, act like a real guy. Because Tropic Thunder is one of the great movies of all time.
It's so good.
You must see it if you have not seen it. And so, it's Robert Downey Jr. as a white guy. He's a white guy playing a black guy. And so there's a lot of memes on social media today about this guy because he looks just like him. Like, this could be a performance piece by Robert Downey Jr. This could be, it got the same makeup artist. It did Tropic Thunder. It's the same thing. Maybe it is. Anyway, there's a whole backgrounder on this guy.
It's fascinating.
Who's been at all these Trump rallies, and when you see African Americans back there, he's like the dominant. At 80% of the time, he's the guy that's mm-hmm. back there. You don't see a lot, but when you do see, it's likely to be him. He was. He started his career in activism mm-hmm. as basically a black supremacist,
right.
Who was from Miami, who believed that blacks should own the country. Then he went from that to deciding that the Cherokee Nation, of all people to pick on, he picked on the Cherokee Nation, and he decided that the Cherokee Nation had stolen America from the Europeans who were here. That this was actually European land that the Cherokees had stolen from him. You go to his website. It's got a lot of very, very, very crazy stuff.
It is a pretty crazy website. If you go to it, because I think a lot of people did. I don't know how many hits they got last night because he was so prominently, you know, positioned there. If you go onto his website, it basically says, to enter, click here. And if that doesn't work, click here. And if that doesn't work, click here. If that doesn't work, click here. It goes all the way down. And once you click, you see his background and the fact that he's really more anti-Hillary than he is pro-Trump. He's connected Hillary to some strange dots to something pretty sinister, the KKK and other things like that, and a war on black people and things like that. So he was really, really, really not into Hillary. And so he landed with Trump because he was behind Rick Santorum for a while, too. During the primary, he appeared with other Republicans.
But the Trump people put him in back of the president.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
well, yeah, you don't get up on that stage, as you and I know, the platform, unless you've been vetted in some way.
Right. And you've been placed there. That's been going on for years and years. Started under the Reagan years. They put guys in hard hats in back of him. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, that's the first time to do theatrics like that. It's pretty, I think, again, this goes to the amateur hour-ness of what goes on in this White House, because they should be a little more careful about who they put back there. This guy is so nuts. He is, in my humble estimation, the kind of guy that the Secret Service would probably now that they know what his background is and the kind of weird things he has stood for and threats he's made in the past, mm-hmm. I think they might want to move him from behind the president of the United States. I know he doesn't have a weapon on him when he's back there because everybody has to go through triple security before they get to that position. But still, I mean, it's like but those are donors and those are, you know, like uh-huh. not the big time donors generally, although that would be the next thing. Trump will do like it'll be like the Sox game. It'll be like the scout seats in back. So everybody gets a Lazy Boy recliner.
What's your net worth?
And there'll be a waitress coming in and dropping off food, you know, to the people who are in back of them.
Louise Linton would be allowed back there probably.
I would hope so. God, I love her.
Handing out beers and hot dogs to everyone.
Exactly. Guys handing their credit cards. Swipe for Trump. Oh, man. All right.
This is what's happened.
All right. Ben Bradley is going to join us. He's going to audition for the role of Mark Sapelsa coming up right after Violetta Powdermedic as the WGN Turf Triple Spots brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. All you have to do is visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
It's a Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley. Joining us right now from Bradley Place. He's auditioning for the role of Mark Sapelsa.
Please don't say that.
We've left it up to Mark. We made this Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. He says it's okay.
And yeah, he came and told me that there would be bloodshed and spears involved in the tournament.
Javelin throw.
Yes.
There might be a javelin throw. And there might be a trial by combat. I believe that we have that as well.
Well, lots of poison, of course.
We all know that we TV people don't do well in hand-to-hand combat. So,
true.
Duck and run would be my advice. That's
okay,
what I do.
Don't touch the face. You can hit me anywhere on the body, just don't touch the face.
There was a moment. I know that this is a tragic scene in Charlottesville, Virginia, but there was a moment they keep showing it in the promos about Charlottesville on all the cable newsers, where there was one guy who was from the right, and he's wearing like a golf shirt, or you know, like a polo kind of shirt, but with the tight sleeves, short sleeves, so around his bulging biceps, and he's like taking a like a boxing position, right? So he's like he looks like a workout, like a trainer kind of guy, taking a boxing position, and he takes a boxing swing at a guy who then wants to slap him, and there's a guy who's like wearing puka shells and a grass skirt who's like slapping at him, and it was like. I'm like, come on, America! Stop
this
it!
This is the image the world gets of our country.
Yeah, I know it. And they extrapolate that to the whole nation.
By the way, you can get that tight look of your polo shirt in the biceps if you just buy one size smaller, I found.
That doesn't work for me, though, because then the man boobs come out. That's they got a combination.
Then you just pick up the male Spanx on sale now at Nordstrom.
Wait, you male got the Spanx job. for the upper portion of the body? Or
see,
just...
Yeah, they sell them. I have no personal experience, but I did notice them when I was at Nordstrom.
A friend of yours picked them up.
Yeah, someone I know.
Have I lost the job yet? By the way,
yeah,
just let me
you just
know.
Did. You this went from winning well. To losing. Okay. I don't know what's
this
going
isn't
on.
Going well.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us what's coming up in WGN TV News? First of all, do you have newscasts today?
Yes, we have all of our newscasts today. No sports on WGN for the first time in about 6 months.
Yep.
Rest assured, I think it'll be back tomorrow, though. Coming up today at 4, Megan Dwyer has the story out in Batavia of a father who found out that on the Musical.ly app, something used by my kids, a lot of people's kids, that somebody was texting his 7-year-old daughter, posing as another child, asking his daughter to send topless photos.
He found
this out, and now the dad has kind of made it his personal crusade to alert other parents that this sort of thing can happen on these apps that many of us think are safe for young kids. Musical.ly, of course, an app where kids very innocently have a lot of fun making music videos, recording themselves dancing and singing to popular songs. But you do have to pay attention. He says, yeah, he was paying attention to what his child was doing on the app. And this person posed as another child, and it was pretty hard even for him as a concerned parent to detect. So Megan Dwyer's got that story. We believe that father talked exclusively with her. You'll see it on the WGN News at 4 o'clock today.
I hate hearing that. I just hate. I mean, 7. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And I'm sure they have millions of users, so it's probably hard to police absolutely everything. It's up to the parents, I guess. Is that what
well,
it
Well, what's interesting
to?
Is...
How
do
you, wait, I don't
you
know.
What? I'm
don't
sorry.
Know.
Here's the thing. It's always like, well, it's the parents' fault. What person who's a parent, who's a current parent, is the, when grandparents, and it's always grandparents who say, or, people who are in their 90s who are like, parents today.
They shouldn't be on iPads.
It's a different world, man.
It is.
Than it was.
So
and,
connectivity
yes.
is what's different.
Well, and this father actually caught some heat because originally he just posted the warning to his friend's network on Facebook. And as it started to go viral, people around the country started seeing it. Yeah, this father got some heat for saying, well, why were you letting your kid on Musical.ly? Musical.ly says you have to be 12 or 13 years old to use the app.
Yeah.
Well, even a 12-year-old is not going to make good decisions when so another 12-year-old says, hey, take topless pictures of yourself.
Exactly.
If they think it's another 12-year-old.
And I think the point is that I think we typically think, Facebook and Instagram, those are... social media apps where we traditionally think of people communicating, but there's so many other ways, embedded messaging services on just about every app nowadays.
Yeah, there's no question.
This thing ain't right.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And it's hard. I mean, it's very hard to protect your kids in this environment because
you're
connected to the world.
And we're all guilty of it. My boys are 10, 9, and 5, and they make Musical.ly videos, and, we've had the conversation with them, but... You really never do know. Mm-hmm. And you try to look at it as this father did, and something kind of seems above board. And then you find out certainly it's not.
All right. All right. Is that it? Is that all you have?
No, we're covering a lot of news today. The $700 million Powerball jackpot that I know you guys have been talking about. Also, President Trump's change of tune, a tale of two rallies. The one off teleprompter yesterday, on teleprompter today. We'll be talking about that and many other stories for you coming up on WGN News.
You know, I've totally forgotten about the $700 million. I bought when it was $370, and I thought I was really...
That seemed like enough for you?
Yeah, your tickets do not roll over, Rob.
And then I bought it at $500, and I thought, well, that's something. Now, I haven't bought my 700s yet.
I know, I haven't either.
Don't bother, I'm already winning it.
You know, they say, I think, that the odds are actually with you to not play when it gets this big, because so many people jump in that in terms of a payout to ratio and your odds of winning, sometimes it's better to play
at the 300 level.
Someone has to win.
You know what? Well, they do. You are a marketer's dream.
They do have at this point. They will have a number because there's only so many combos. 200 and something million combinations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. It's like 240 million combinations.
So at this point, if you had $280 million, wouldn't it behoove you to go and buy them? Can you make $700 million?
Yes, that is. And there was a company in Australia that was trying to do that, and they would get up to like 60% purchase in on these lotteries, and they would just try to win them
that way.
Work
the odds.
It's very hard, though, because it creates quite a line when a guy goes, I need 240 million quick picks,
please. I'm always behind that guy at the gas station.
Well, I think the odds are the same no matter what, because isn't it the odds of pulling that number of those numbers are the same?
But
the odds don't increase if you buy, say, 5 tickets or 10 tickets that substantially, which is why they always say it's like don't buy 25 tickets. It really doesn't change your odds.
Your odds
still
do change at 240 million.
At 240 million, you're totally
who
in.
Who say, oh, you know what? 10 million, 50 million, that's not good enough for me. I got to wait till it's up there near $300, $700 million before, they're going to get my $2.
Mm-hmm. Well, the government's going to take all that. All of a sudden, I'm going to be, if I win this thing, I'm going to be the biggest Trump supporter in the history of Trump support.
I'd love to see that.
I'm going to have such a flip on this in terms of I want, what are we going to go 15% tax rate, right? Is that what we're going to go to?
Uh-huh.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's lower taxes, taxes.
I don't think that applies if you win the jackpot before tax reform takes effect.
It turns out when you turn it in.
Yeah. One other quick story. WGN's Julie Unruh just got done talking with former U.S. Attorney Zach Farden. An interesting interview that she just wrapped up here at WGN. He's got some thoughts on Chicago violence, on President Trump and his efforts to clean house, and the fact that while President Trump has nominated a new U.S. attorney for Northern Illinois, we still don't have one many months after he ousted Zach Farden.
I thought they had announced a new person here.
He's nominated John Lash, but he hasn't gone through the process yet.
The Senate's on vacation because they worked so hard.
Yeah, good thing that they get a break.
Don't they get?
They must be exhausted.
Yeah, exactly, from getting nothing done,
fighting with each other.
Right, Mitch McConnell is exhausted, deciding that I just don't happen to think that this president is going to make it to 2019. What does that mean?
His wife in the administration?
Yes, his wife is Elaine Chao.
She was standing right next to President Trump earlier this week.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So they're gonna. So then, by the way, fire Chao. Why can't we? What? I don't understand this. Why do I have to fire all the people I like? Fire people I don't like. All right. You think that sounds crazy? I think I was being very generous in terms of what is probably said at the White House. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
It's always great speaking with you, as far as you know.
Very enthusiastic.
All right. I'd say you did pretty well in the audition. Make it your own next time. You're on to Hollywood. All right. Here we go. We've got on the other side, Judy Pilak's news, 2 minutes away. Rob Concho with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. I want to talk about that thing that Judy just had in her big story, the audiobook excerpts from Hillary Clinton's new tome have been released. And I want to talk a little bit about the tone. I think more than anything else, it's almost like a hostage audio piece, isn't it? She was taken hostage by the people who are making her read her own book.
Well, during the campaign, didn't she get a lot of heat for sounding, not connecting based on the way she sounded?
I think throughout her political career, she has been accused of being sounding forced.
Right.
You know,
so doing an audio book is kind of interesting.
Yes. Well, if she had to, you can't be a high profile person and not do your own voiceover on an autobiography.
Yeah, they usually do. When you do the audio portion, you do, yeah, right, you do it.
Yeah.
Although I will say, when she's talking about what happened, it's the most animated I've heard her in a long time.
Yes, that's true.
You know, she's kind of reading the first part, I failed, but then when she's talking about Trump being breathing down her neck.
Well, can we play that part? Because this part, and I missed the whole Taylor Swift thing. I didn't understand how that impacted women broadly. Right?
Yes, we found that out.
Kevin and I found that out the hard way.
But we forgive you because you're a guy and maybe you don't get it, which is good, I think.
Groping is not totally isolated to celebrities or a Taylor Swift scenario, that most women will tell you there's a situation where if they didn't get groped themselves, they might have felt really like it was about to happen or uncomfortable.
I can honestly say I've never groped anybody who didn't ask for the groping.
But
asked for it to be submitted in paperwork and
you got to put it to your attorneys. Yes. That's how you are now.
Exactly. I said, so we need some witnesses here. What can we do for the groping?
So would you want to hear the last part?
Well, we got it. We have it on our side here.
Oh, okay.
We're going to play it from here. Because there's something about this I can't really wrap my brain around. There's something interesting that she says that I think is a little self-defeating, but here you go.
This is not okay, I thought. It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled.
Okay, now, what's interesting about that is Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Did the bit about that following Saturday night.
But she went after him in that, didn't she? I can't remember. In that SNL bit, I thought
he was following her, right?
It was
all over her.
Over
then she would turn around and then he would be there and he wouldn't be there and he would turn around. Right. It was kind of the deal. So, So let me just ask you a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Hillary Clinton, who's been... I had the most amazing experiences that a human being can have in a lot of ways, right? Because, you know, as a first lady and then as a diplomat and secretary of state and blah, 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 senator, you know, been put in pretty awkward positions. And she's had to negotiate with, you know, other heads of state in places where women are seen, you know, a little differently.
Absolutely.
And she's been around a lot of crazy things over her life, right? She's seen a lot more than the average American has seen. Of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She knows Donald Trump can't actually physically do anything to her, although that would have been a constitutional crisis of profound, the Secret Service having to figure out who they were going to stop in a situation like that.
Whose side are we on?
Right, exactly.
Wait a minute.
Right? That would be, imagine the trouble the Secret Service would have trying to figure out a fist fight between those two.
As if they don't have enough trouble.
Isn't that something? I mean,
is it?
Do you buy that? By the ladies, do you buy that?
I don't know. She wasn't thinking he was going to touch her or attack her, but she understood what she said. She understood what he was doing, which was to try to make her feel as uncomfortable as possible.
And I think someone as strong as Hillary Clinton, like you're saying, she should have been in these situations before where she can protect herself, and you think that she'd be strong to defend it. I think that she probably is more mad at herself that she was affected by it.
That's probably true. It probably threw her a little bit at the time. And, you know, she's saying you could say she had the choice, keep smiling, be calm, and just carry on, which is what she chose to do, or else look him in the eye and say, back up, creep.
Which would have changed the entire
tone of the debate.
Let's get to this.
It was one of those moments where you wish you could hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, what would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up.
Wouldn't you have loved to see that moment on stage?
But she could never do that. That would have been the end of her. Right then
it was the end of her. She just didn't realize it was the end of her.
Right then and there it would have been.
It would have been classic emotional woman.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Did she overreact or what?
Really? So I feel like that would win some people over, no?
No.
See, I'm with Kevin.
It would have won me over, for sure.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You would have been like, he wasn't that close.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was happening to her the whole campaign.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Which is why she said, what would you have done?
I think we're supposed to know, and I do. And I think Judy's probably right here, but I'm
sorry, I didn't hear you.
I can't repeat
she likes
that.
To hear that again.
I can't repeat that.
Back up.
Hold
creep.
That clip. We might need it for
back
another time.
Back up and repeat that.
But I honestly think that if she, especially in that moment, because I remember pretty well, I think we all do, what that weekend was like. Mm-hmm. Heading into that because that tape, when that tape came out, when the Access Hollywood tape came out, mm-hmm. we were sitting in this room and it had come down in the control room, which is on the other side of the little glass here, little part where there's, you know, across our room, the producers are sitting in there and you can sometimes hear them through their glass when they react to things. And so we were doing the show and then that's right. one of our producers saw this. He goes, oh, hell no. Like that. And that's all right. And all I heard. And then we went to the break. And then I walked in. And he goes, this is over. This right. is over for Donald Trump.
Everyone thought it was at that moment. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people did think that this was
wasn't.
Hard to come back from.
I think the Donald Trump people, the campaign certainly thought it was over. Because remember, they were running. They were like, you know, running with their. It was a Friday night and they were all running backwards on it. They were backpedaling as much as they possibly could. And that's when the famous Anna Navarro moment on CNN happened, yeah. where she got up and she could not.
God, I miss
she
her.
She could not keep saying. She's
still
on
there. Still on
she
CNN.
Could not.
I miss her then.
Jeffrey
like
Lord. Jeffrey Lord is not on anymore, but she's still on.
He's out.
Yeah. Poor Jeffrey Lord. Oh, what they did to him. He tweeted Sig Heil to somebody. Poor Jeffrey Lord. He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
Anyway. The Anna Navarro kept saying, you know, the P word, right? With her Miami Cuban accent, which was very, very funny. Anyway, the point here is that I think if she had, she would have been seen probably as trying to take advantage of that moment, right? To try to take advantage of the whole grabbing the P moment.
I think Judy's probably right about how it would have been. She certainly wouldn't have won anyone over by reacting that way. Her base and the female voters would have
and
probably
you,
liked hearing it, but they were
right.
already
and
with her. And the people who weren't wouldn't have been like, she might have put off some people.
And Ro just said it, though. We all thought, how many times? Oh, that's it. That's it. He's done. And he wasn't. You know, right. So this is weeks later. It's apparent that the guy's outliving, you know, out.
It's still going on. It doesn't matter what happened in Charlottesville or last night or anything. It doesn't matter.
No, but even during the campaign, I'm saying all these little things that happened. Look at her. I mean, what is she supposed to do when you say, you know, I would have, you're right, I would have loved to have seen her react that way, the way she thought about it, but it wouldn't have helped. I think it would have hurt her. It would have hurt her.
All right.
I don't know what it helps for her to relitigate all these things. Just like Trump was relitigating his Charlottesville thing, what he did and what he chose to do. And I don't know. Does this help her in any way to do this? Does this help
Hold on,
do people want to hear it?
There's more.
I chose option A. I kept my cool, aided by a lifetime of dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off.
Hey.
I did, however, grip the microphone extra hard. I wonder, though, whether I should have chosen option B. It certainly would have been better TV. Maybe I have overlearned the lesson of staying calm, biting my tongue, digging my fingernails into a clenched fist, smiling all the while, determined to present a composed face to the world.
See, she's missed 2016 and 2017, the late 20-teens. She's missed the whole moment here. Which is if she had punched him, she would have won the election.
Because taking him out right
because
there.
It's a social media moment, right? And everybody on Facebook going, "Hey, yay!"
You think it'd be different? You think she changed the book from what happened to now? What had happened was maybe she should do that.
That's really what
that would be
what
better.
What should have happened?
What happened was I was at the debate and I should have punched him, and I didn't. I don't. But by the way, I just want to say one thing. I'm totally offended by all that, whatever that thing was, because that was an illusion to me. I know it was.
Well, that's the other part people are pointing out. A little bit of like what her husband probably has creeped a few people out as well.
I have seen that clenched fist before. heading right at my bulbous nose.
Oh.
Oh, man. She knows creepy, though. I mean, she does,
she
right?
She does. Oh,
I mean, she does know leering creepiness. But she generally would see her husband doing it, right? Sort of. You know that Bill Clinton's one of those guys when sitting at dinner. I mean, I don't know how often this, but it does actually happen quite a bit, because I've actually seen him at eating dinner. And he's, you know, sitting at a table, he's got all those people around him. But when a pretty woman walks by, his head's on a swivel. Right? It's like, oh, and then in his
head.
Or some
of the fancy parties they go to and the sit-down dinners, the foundation dinners, things like that.
And then in his head, it's like, oh, would you look at that?
He's pretending to, stay focused on the conversation, but he's really looking over her shoulder and checking out the girl.
He doesn't even pretend. He just does it. It's outright.
Ooh, I'd like to break me off a piece of that.
Is he looking at the bread?
Oh, I'm looking at something. I'll tell you right now, it's a mound of dough. Anyway.
I'd like to hear more of this book, actually. I'm interested to hear what
would you like to get the book
beyond this.
With her stilted reading of it, or do you want to read the book?
I don't know. I'd like to. She does have fascinating experiences. If she's honest and she opens up about some of those things, I think it could be really, a lot of people I think would be interested in that. I'd be interested in reading about it. Seeing what I think, particularly her time as Secretary of State, but beyond that, the whole behind the scenes experiences that we didn't really get to hear.
Well, you think she's really going to tell stories about that?
I don't know. I don't think so. But that's what I'd like to hear about, some of the times when you didn't know which way what you were going to do.
I'd like to know what her reaction was when she found out that the emails had been hacked. What was her personal reaction to that?
Mm-hmm. So should I delete them or should I not?
And then when she realized that she shouldn't have had, I mean, I'd like an honest answer about why she had her own email server, right?
Some of those things.
Why she didn't think that was a stupid idea to begin with, or if it was, I mean, the other side of that is, well, then, no one else has eyes on it. But the problem is everybody else has eyes on it then. Don't. I told you were wrong. Well, why is he still in his head? Anyway, then there is the issue of, I'd like to, maybe does she explain the Benghazi thing in the book? That would be interesting. Like what her reaction is. Why did she say what she said when she initially came out about that? Why were they towing that line that the whole thing
was
based on the video? And why were they basically blaming the United States for the reaction of people over there, when you can't really do that because the reaction of people over there, there was so many other things that factor into that. And our own hubris in this country, we make it everything about ourselves because we have cultural narcissism here.
But that's what I think would be fascinating to hear, her own personal thoughts rather than sort of turning it around on. We know Trump, what he's about. We know what this guy's like.
I kind of like him. All right, here is Violetta Pottermedic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Roconcho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we cannot help ourselves here, but we must talk about our brothers and sisters in sound and pictures over at ESPN.
Oh, boy.
You know, it seems like there has just been a parade of dumbassery this entire year.
Wasn't that the word of the day yesterday?
It was the word of the day yesterday. It moves on to the word of the day today, because this actually didn't even happen yesterday. And Anna, please tell the story.
Oh, okay, so I were on the air, and it popped on my social media timeline, and I thought, okay, guy named Robert Lee removed from ESPN. I thought it was The Onion. I thought it was satire. I'm like, that's not even real, so I'm not going to bring it up on air. And then I saw 10, 12, 15 more times, and I thought, come on, people are just picking up the satire. And then it wasn't until I got home after the show that I realized this is a real story. This really happened. ESPN removed the guy, an Asian American named Robert Lee, because of his name. And he thought that would offend people on the football broadcast.
And he was supposed to call the University of Virginia's home opener.
Right.
Okay.
So they moved him to another game.
Yes. He's going to be now calling the
Cincinnati game, right?
Youngstown Pitt game, I want to say.
Oh, Youngstown Pitt. Okay. And it's not even on TV. It's streaming.
ESPN3.
ESPN3.
What's wrong with his name?
Not for me.
Seriously, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I know. I mean, honest to God.
I can't
tell me it's not real.
It's dumb, but
who made the decision?
Okay, so I have
that person needs to go.
Okay, so ESPN has said this, that ESPN was making the decision during the melee at Charlottesville. And it was in the during that moment they were thinking, oh, should we really have a guy named Robert Lee? What's his middle name? Can we change his name? What can we do about this?
It is pretty wild that he was scheduled to call a game.
But would people Virginia. Have had a problem with that?
No, it's just the coincidence. Pretty wild.
It's pretty weird.
I mean, ESPN, what are the chances ESPN subsequently said, I know, it's just one of those years.
I mean, crazy. You
know, I know. I wonder what his middle initial is, actually.
I don't know. I'll try to find out.
And right now, if you're Robert Lee, this poor SOB, I mean, he has just, I just cannot imagine.
How does that conversation go? Can you step in the office for a moment? We're going to change assignments.
Hey, Bob. I wish I could call you Bob.
Do you go by Bob, by the way?
Can we go by Bob? How about Bobby? See, the problem, I think the problem here, too, is that Bobby Lee is taken.
Is it?
Yeah, because there's an actor and comedian named Bobby Lee. Mm-hmm. And it's a union issue. There is a union issue that happens here. And because if you're a member of the SAG-AFTRA, the union that represents TV and radio people and mm-hmm. film actors and stuff like that, you can only have, there are only certain, yet your names have to be different in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Sometimes it's spelling. You know, and sometimes you'll see a name spelled in a funny way, and you're mm-hmm. like, why would you do that? Like mm-hmm. a guy named Michael goes M-I-K-E-L. Well, that's because there's another guy by his name in the union. He had to make a change.
People like Catherine Zeta-Jones said she picked up the Zeta because there was already a Catherine Jones registered. And you just see it a lot.
So Bobby Lee already exists. I'm assuming a Bob Lee probably already exists. But Robert Lee, it seems like it would have existed already. But the guy goes with Robert Lee. And until... And until like 2 weeks ago, really, who cared?
I know.
I mean, people weren't talking about Robert Lee or Robert E. Lee or anything. You know, nothing would have been of issue. Right? And then all of a sudden, you got this whole goofiness in Charlottesville over the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee. And this poor guy with no connection.
No connection.
An Asian American, right? Mm-hmm. He's got nothing to do with anything. His name is Robert Lee, L-E-E. Mm-hmm. He could have gone with the L-I, Robert Lee that way.
But then you can't just change it? I don't know.
Yeah, you can. Now, what if his name were Robert Lee? What if his name were actually Robert E. Lee, L-I? Do you think the geniuses at ESPN would have been able to go, hey, you know what we should probably do here?
Mm-hmm.
We should probably make a change. And so what do you think? Or would they have just gone, oh, I don't see anything. What's wrong? This guy's name is Robert Lee. It's against Robert E. Lee. He's a Chinese guy. What's the difference? I mean, this is just another snapshot of dumbassery that is of many. We have a photo album. We have an entire photos. We filled up our hard drive with photos of dumbassery this year.
No question.
Oh, my God.
I did not believe that story was real. It really took me till I got home and digested everything I saw and thought, wow, they really did. They really did this.
It really is tough to decipher between real stories and the Onion stories.
How about
it? You always have to double check. Like, what? Is this really happening?
So ESPN, here's what ESPN said. Mm-hmm. They said in a statement that its executives collectively made the decision about Robert to switch games as the tragic events in Charlottesville were unfolding. In that moment, it felt right to all parties. It's a shame that this is even a topic of conversation, and we regret that who calls play-by-play for a football game has become an issue. You made it an issue!
When you reassigned him.
It was not an issue until you did it. No one would have noticed that.
Well, let's ask Kev there. Was there any complaint in the sports world at all that you had heard about or any even fun, like people had
who's
made a connection?
Who's even heard of Robert Lee?
Nobody,
I mean, I watch a ton of ESPN football on Saturdays and college football, and he's not one of the
mainline
guys. Well,
I think this is his first year calling Division One games, because he's mostly called some low-level high school or college hoops games, as well as some FCS, which is like D1 AA. So I think this was supposed to sort of be the start for him to start doing some bigger games. At least it appears that way.
Well, it was.
But I guess that's why no one's really heard.
Was until the poor guy had just had the misfortune of being named Robert Lee.
What's also important is who is he being replaced with?
That's a good question. I haven't seen who they replaced him with yet.
That wasn't in the statement, Ro?
Because that's also a sensitive topic, who he's being replaced with.
We have replaced him with Ulysses S. Grant.
He's okay, right? A guy
you know
anybody named Lincoln?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, Abe Lincoln? You don't have a lot of people named Abe Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Lincolns.
Hey, you're probably clear there.
We got a guy, Joe Goebbels, that we're going to put in instead.
And it's interesting that we say both of their middle initials, the generals.
That's because there were too many Ulysses Grants and Robert Lees. So they had to
I don't know any other ones, except this one now at ESPN. He's the only the second one I know of.
All right. So,
so
from
that's
our perspective at ESPN, we were trying to guard against Lee becoming a punchline, given that he shares a name with the Confederate general. Thank you for your history lesson, ESPN. We foresaw memes and headlines such as Robert Lee marches into Charlottesville. Moving Lee to a different game was seen as a way to support him. Really? Really? Was he asking for
supporting
it?
Supporting him.
Did anybody call him? Does Robert Lee even stop and think to himself, my God, I've got the same name as Robert E. Lee. I don't even think he thinks that.
No, he doesn't. There's no connection.
And his name was probably to assimilate to the country to see more. You know, when he was named.
Assimilated to the guy. His family's probably been here for generations.
Apparently, his full-time job is at a payroll service company.
Oh, boy.
The play-by-play stuff.
He's so this was his big break?
Well, he's been doing it for 15, 20 years. Oh. So I think it's, I don't want to say just a side thing, but he's obviously pretty dedicated to it. But he's been calling some lower-level stuff. Virginia's, you know, has a pretty large fan base and a pretty large demo, so... Yeah, it's a tough break for Mr. Lee.
They interviewed a guy named Jerry Sandusky, who apparently calls games for the Baltimore Ravens, and he says, you know, I understand this whole name thing. It, you know, haunts you, and it becomes a problem because people mock you during the broadcast.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but he's saying this is not an excuse. He was not on the side where this was the only.
Right. Well, I mean, and I think there is a difference. If your name is Jerry Sandusky and you're calling sports, people are going to probably think you're related, right? No one's going to think that Robert Lee is related to Robert
confusion.
E. Lee.
No confusion.
I don't think anybody's going to think that.
I wouldn't think so. That's why it's so ridiculous.
Right. I mean, it was sort of like that. I mean, so at that point, you got to be, J. William Sandusky or whatever. You got to go. You got to. I kind of even understand.
You do?
Right. Do you want to send Jerry Sandusky to go call the Penn State game? I don't think so.
You may want to abort that last name if you're that guy.
I just shorten it to Sand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Are you Jerry Sands?
Jerry Sand. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a Vegas act. Right? I mean, it's like, I would understand it in some circumstances, you might want to rethink things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But this is so in the past.
There are not a lot of people named, you know, Hitler in America or anywhere for that matter.
No, there aren't.
Right? All of a sudden, if their last name was Hitler, they're like,
a lot of Jesus's.
We might want to rethink this.
We had to pull Hitler off the Germany soccer game this weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It'd be a little more.
Even Hitler changed his name. I mean, it wasn't even his name. He changed it. His original name was Schickelgruber, which didn't have the same ring to it.
No, it really doesn't.
So,
Hail
Schickelgruber. No. Yeah, Hail Schickelgruber. It just didn't get it. It was too. So I don't know. I remember that I learned this story in high school about why he changed his name, but I can't recall. Schickelgruber, too Jewish, probably, right? That's probably his thought.
Be confused.
I think he was part Jewish.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so there
he was
probably
like a quarter
was
Jewish.
Jewish.
Right, which is another one
I'm sure that's
another great irony of history, like the entire year of 2017 exactly. has been a great irony of history.
Hashtag grow strong.
Thank you. Schlickelgruber, you're exactly right. 13 years before, and then because he sounded like just sounded better. Hitler sounded better.
He had, like, the alliteration.
I swear to God, I think he was like, oh, that's too Jewish. I can't do it.
This whole thing
course
is
that's
a,
exactly what he was thinking.
Probably. Schicklgruber was considered too coarse and rustic.
Yeah, rustic.
Name.
Yeah.
Whatever. Rustic, all right.
Right. So it goes with Hitler. So it goes with that. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that. So you can, I mean, people do change your names when you know, bad things happen. I don't think that, you know, Bob Lee over here, the accountant turned broadcaster, right? I don't think anybody's going to. It's too common of a thing.
I just can't even imagine what, you know, how they arrived at this decision and how much thought was given to it.
Just,
do you think there were a lot of meetings and a lot of whiteboards and things like that that went in? Come on, people.
All right, we need to research this. Get the research department on it. I need a 500-person survey right now, immediately on my desk.
Focus groups.
Morning. Focus group. What, should we change? Now, get some people from Charlottesville.
Ask them if they know who Robert Lee is.
They'd be like, wait, what? Who? Which Robert Lee? What?
Right. I envision them with that whiteboard like they do in football. You know, they do the circles and they plays.
You think that.
Just the name Robert Lee doesn't ever, when someone says Robert Lee, you don't even think Robert E. Lee.
Right, the E makes
you
a
need
difference.
The E is a big difference. That's what sells it.
Yeah.
And nobody says Robert Lee for the general. It's Robert E. Lee.
Right.
Always.
If I even said Ulysses Grant, you'd go, who's it? What?
E. Grant?
Yeah, what? I don't understand. Oh, right, there was that guy, right? I don't know. All right.
This is a news or ruse bit.
It kind of is.
But it's actually real.
Yeah. That's the thing. News or ruse is, we should cancel the game.
Right, because it's just an everyday
everything
segment.
Everything is news. Right. There are no
That's
ruses.
That's why it's so hard to win. It's impossible to play that game
it's
now.
It's become very tough.
I see what Judy just did there. Did you see what she did? That was a humble brag. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's been such overwhelming criticism here. Actually, I've seen a number of commentators because America has, like, basically, the one thing we have rallied around in America, left and right, black and white, it's whatever it is. In America, we have rallied around poor Robert Lee, the forgotten broadcaster at ESPN3.
What I love is the way one of the explainers, ESPN gave an interview to MSNBC, and they said, it's we raised with him the notion of switching games. And it's something we do all the time. We didn't make him. We just asked him. We switch games, Robert. You know, let's do that. And then we mutually agreed to switch, was the way they portrayed it.
But here's the thing. I mean, I know that they actually do that because our dear friend, sweet Lou Kanellis, works for ESPN, or did. And he would get college basketball games all the time. And then last minute, thought he was going to Cincinnati, and he ended up in Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, things like that would happen. But they announced why they were doing it, which is what's the problem? And they're like, I cannot believe we will not allow politics to get injected into our broadcasts. That's why we are moving Robert Lee from the Charlottesville, from the University of Virginia Charlottesville game. Well, you just did it!
Not one person would have noticed if they did that
unannounced. Right. I'm telling you. And people, and there would have been a few memes or whatever, and it would have gotten over it. Although he is now the most famous guy ever.
People are rooting for him now.
They should move him now to the A-team.
Right.
They should put him. They should.
Yeah, what is he? Everyone knows him now. I want to hear him.
Yes. SEC should be doing the Alabama home game is what he should be doing.
Well, I'm feeling for him. I mean, so yes, you'd like to see him prominently displayed.
He didn't lose it. I mean, he's just doing another game. So it's not like
Cincinnati, right? He's going to Cincinnati, I think.
Pitt and Youngstown.
Oh, but he's doing it from, I think he said from Cincinnati. Why would he do it from there?
Really?
He said the Queen City. Isn't that Cincinnati?
Yes.
That was in his tweet. Oh, God, he screwed that up. Or is it Pittsburgh that he's, is it in Pittsburgh? Can you find that out?
I'm on it.
Because if it is in Pittsburgh and he said it was the Queen City, now Cincinnati is going to be mad at him.
He's in trouble. Is that considered an equivalent assignment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially.
Still
doesn't make
sense.
Yeah, since they Bearcats, that's a pretty good, that's an interesting, that Pitt-Cincinnati thing, you know, those are those, the sort of the minor majors guys that you're never quite sure, and then they pop up.
According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he'll be calling the Pitt-Youngstown game at Heinz Field, September 2nd in Pittsburgh.
Okay, so it is in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
He's calling Pittsburgh Cincinnati.
Wait, so did he
say that?
He tweeted Queen City. Yeah. See you in the Queen City. No. No.
Robert.
No.
You're going to Pittsburgh, man.
And Pitt
He's
Youngstown
confused.
State. Youngstown State is, you know, the cradle of champions here.
It's going to be like, where do I go?
He lands in Cincinnati. Where's the game?
I'm done with this.
I'm so screwed up.
He's just going to quit. I'm done.
Poor guy.
Oh, man.
Tax season's just around the corner. Exactly. I can't handle this
exactly.
Right now.
People, you know, Bob, we're going to need you back in the office because corporations have to file on September 15th. So you're really going to have to be in the office for the last 2 weeks. Sorry, you can't. I'm sorry. We're going to ask that you not do any of those, your side work. Or maybe he's one of those guys, because I did this for years. A year, I worked on my first job at on the radio here at WLS. I was working weekends, and I did it for a year before my bosses at Channel 2 knew I was doing it.
Because you had a different name when you were on the air.
No.
No?
I used my same name. Which tells you how completely clued in Channel 2 was. Channel 2 News was at that point when I was there in the late 80s, early 90s.
Well, Channel 2 was all that mattered in the late 80s, right? Was that the time when they were it?
When I got there, I think we were second in the ratings. Oh, and when I left, we were fifth. Okay. So I took full responsibility for that.
You had a good run there.
Yeah. Andy Griffith reruns were beating us at 10 o'clock or at 6 o'clock. We were having some problems.
So he works in a tax office as well.
That's the point. So
they got payroll services.
And Bob, listen, this is a very busy week, and we're going to have you work.
Sorry, you're going to be somewhere?
Bob, what if he didn't tell his bosses? Bob, do you have another job?
No, they know. Whoops.
No, that's Robert Lee.
Yeah, that's the other Robert.
That's Robert E. Lee. He's a white guy.
Yeah.
Right. They're tearing a statue of his. He's already in his boss's office trying to explain that he's trying to confuse himself with the general.
Right, at Burke.
Going the other way.
At work, he refers to himself as Bob. Robert Bob Lee.
I didn't know that was you.
You're that guy?
Kind of looks like Bob Lee from work.
All right. Here is Violetta Potomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right, Judy Pilak. She's got some thoughts. Mm-hmm. WGN News Thoughts. And they're brought to you by Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago. I hate to do a variation on a theme of what we just were talking about in the last half hour, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We were talking about ESPN's decision to dump the broadcaster Robert Lee because his name was too similar to Civil War General Robert E. Lee from doing the University of Virginia football home opener. Because his name was Robert Lee. All right. And one thing that this is a nice moment. This is a moment of unity in America where everybody, left, right, black, white, whatever you happen to be, we all think that ESPN were idiots for doing it. So there's that. So we got that going for us.
Yes.
But wait, listen to this. The, USC football, one of the great traditions.
Fear the Trojan.
Yeah. And, In all of college football, one of the great traditions, you know, they have a very interesting. If you go to a USC game, it's very, very special, right? Because it's a, you know, the Coliseum, it's a beautiful stadium, it's amazingly historic thing, and they've got a big beautiful white horse that a guy dressed as a Trojan warrior, not as a condom, but as a Trojan warrior. He rides this white horse around the stadium when they score.
Mm-hmm. So I was there for the Rose Bowl with Northwestern Wildcats.
Go Cats.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
It is a spectacular stadium. And all of the pomp and circumstance that goes along with it, it's fun to watch.
Well now...
Probably the most beloved team in L.A., maybe, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons that they said that... NFL football.
Right. Nobody cares. They love USC.
Did not take off there was because USC and UCLA became the, you know, that's football for Southern California. That was enough. That's all they really needed. Now, I'm almost having trouble getting this out now because this is a story from, that broke a couple of weeks ago, actually, or over a week ago. Mm-hmm. The this, by the way, a 56-year tradition of galloping the white horse.
Mm.
That's in a white Arabian. That wait a second, we can stop that. that the rider rides. As a matter of fact, Richard Sauco galloped the chalk white Arabian horse named Traveler around the Colosseum 56 years ago, and it was supposed to be a one-time stunt. And then people loved it so much, it became this this tradition.
Continued it. Wait, is he the official mascot, the horses, or no? No, what's their mascot? The Trojan Warrior.
Yeah, well, that's become their mascot, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they got a guy who walks around as a Trojan.
Trojan man.
No, that's a different guy. that's something else. Although, I know that they have had some fun with that at USC over the years.
I'm sure they have.
Now, this is kind of interesting. The brief performance before USC kicked off its season against Georgia Tech turned into one of college football's iconic traditions. Mm-hmm. A succession of white horses named Traveler have followed. Now, Traveler 9 debuts this fall.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be the ninth horse to play the part
of
Traveler.
It will be trotting out of the tunnel as Conquest plays, and the costumed Trojan warrior atop the horse waves a sword.
Mm-hmm.
But during a rally earlier last week to show solidarity in the aftermath of the violence in Charlottesville, a USC campus group linked the name to Confederate General Robert E. Lee, whose favorite horse was... You guessed it.
Traveler. Oh, no. Robert E. Lee's famous horse was a
It was the name of the horse.
There's only one Traveler. Option. Put the horse down.
Totally Game of Thrones style.
It had a good run.
It's kind of crazy. Have they decided they're using the horse still? Or is there...
The name of the USC horse is the same name as General Robert E. Lee's favorite horse. His horse. It was his favorite horse. Traveler.
Now, if Robert Lee was scheduled to call the USC football game, that'd be
should do. If USC has any sense of irony, they will hire Robert Lee, the broadcaster, to get on top of Traveler and ride around. Kind of around the stadium. Bob, here's what we need you to do.
With his microphone in hand.
We're going to put you in a Civil War reenactment outfit. We're going to have you guys run around.
Good luck on
it. Just keep doing it. Just keep going around.
Should go for
it. Everybody's going to love this. And then we'll just stadium announcer. And now, welcome Robert Lee and Traveler.
Oh, no. Oh. So this story came up a while ago, or it came up just...
Came up. Hold on.
Thank you, stadium announcer.
You're welcome. It came up last Friday.
What are the chances of all these things happening?
I know.
I don't know.
You know what the chances are? The same chances we have is breathing, because now people are looking for anything.
Breathing. Kind of true.
You know, Robert E. Lee had he wore a shirt. Anybody who wears a shirt is like Robert E. Lee. I mean, come on.
There was an American television series called Traveler. We should boycott it and erase it from the internet.
At a rally, according to a student newspaper, The Daily Trojan, Sophia Jackson, co-director of the USC Black Student Assembly, asked students not to be quiet and remind that white supremacy hits close to home and referenced the name of the Trojans mascot.
Oh, my God. So there is a push to not use Traveler anymore?
There's
That's happening?
Yes.
Neither horse is to blame here.
Yeah, don't take it on the horse.
The Black Student Assembly did not respond to requests for comment by the LA Times.
Did Traveler comment on it?
Yes, he did, as a matter of fact. And he said...
Is Sounds like he doesn't like it. So that's how I'd read
Trevor's
that.
Trevor's not happy.
Horse language.
Give him a sugar cube.
I know. It's hard to absorb all these things.
This is the stupidest thing ever.
Now, is there a statue of Traveler on the USC campus?
Now, I would like to make the point that the name Traveler is spelled differently between Robert E. Lee's Traveler.
But Robert Lee, the sportscaster, was spelled differently because there was no E in it either. That didn't seem
to matter. Don't try to confuse the issue, Anna. We're already ahead of ourselves in confusion.
How do you spell Traveler in two different ways?
One L or two L's.
That's how they get you.
Yep. And in this case, the Traveler, who is the one L mm-hmm. for the USC Traveler, two L's for the Robert E. Lee Traveler. Adjust your scorecard.
Oh, my word.
Traveler seems like a common name for a horse.
Doesn't it? Actually, indeed it does. As a matter of fact, I think what we should point out here is that neither the people at USC nor General Robert E. Lee were all that creative when they came up with the name. Hey, you know what should name that horse? The Traveler. All right. Now, this is interesting. The earliest mention of a connection between Robert E. Lee and the USC horse mm-hmm. appears to have come in the four-paragraph obituary of the first guy who rode the horse around the stadium 56 years ago.
Oh.
The Sacco guy.
Did he mention Robert E. Lee at the time? Or did he...
The Associated Press story in 2005, the obit, described the similarity of the name of Lee's horse as merely coincidental.
Oh, okay. Well, as Judy says,
don't tell that to the kids who want to protest. I mean, all right. Now what do we do? Now, see, this is the point. I mean, I think Donald Trump loves stuff like this because it makes his point, right? It makes his point to see everybody's crazy. I can be crazy because everybody else is crazy. And as soon as people overreact to this, I mean, who the hell would have known the difference? First of all, you know, I'm pretty sophisticated college football fan. I knew they had a white horse at Renner. I had no idea what the hell the name of the horse was.
No, I wouldn't have known. I suppose if you go to the university and the connection is made.
Yeah, I suppose. But I'm not a, I don't, I mean, I would have never thought
no
about that.
No one knows that.
No.
I've never heard once on a USC broadcast, oh, there's Traveler. Like a Traveler galloping around the field again. Traveler looks strong, they say. It's like, there's the white horse.
All right, and Traveler does that thing where he comes up on two legs, you know, yeah. Does it that whole deal. Mm-hmm.
Classic maneuver by a horse.
Right, and the guy, the Trojan on top of him, like, you know, rolling around.
Apparently there is a Trojan statue across from Tommy Trojan.
Take it down. Take it down.
That may be in jeopardy.
I just want to know why the people of Sparta have not rebelled against this whole idea of allowing for a Trojan mascot in America.
That's right.
Or going the other way. How about the Michigan State arguing that we are offended that they've named themselves after the people of Troy?
It's a valid point.
Right? Because they
totally
were trying to try to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was it the Spartans and the Trojans were after each other?
Sounds right.
Good enough. Close. Trump history, close enough.
Many people
everybody
don't
knows.
Know.
Yeah, it's whatever. Who knew? No one knows that. Who knew that? Who knew that Robert? Who knew that Abraham Lincoln was Republican? I mean, people don't know that. No, you didn't know that.
Many people don't know is usually.
Many people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That the Trojan is not just a condom, it is also... was a warrior in ancient somewhere.
Middle Eastern, Northern, Central.
So they wore horses and had swords. All right. And they were the mothers of all dragons. All right. Let us now check the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots with Violetta Potomatic. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to share with you the story about the guy. People were watching that speech last night that the president made in Phoenix. There was a guy in the in back of him in the crowd in back of the president, folks back there, and that's a vetted crowd. That has been for years and years and years and years to get in those seats directly behind a speaking president. It is, you know, those are chosen people, and they're often chosen for political purposes, right? And so Trump wanted to make sure the Trump team wanted to make sure that there was an African-American back there because he's, you know, he wants to send the message that he's not a racist and that he's going to be, you know, supportive of all peoples.
Right. When they panned the crowd, though, you didn't see a lot of African-Americans.
Nah.
Did you?
No, you didn't. No.
There's my one black guy.
Where's my black guy?
Where my African-American.
My African-American. Blacks love me.
The representative, I think, in California, African-American.
But in this case, they did have a guy. And then this one guy has been in back of Donald Trump at a number of different events.
He looked familiar right away when he came up. I thought, well, wait a minute. I think the campaign trail and some other times you've seen him. Yes. Prominently positioned.
Yes. And now we find out who he is. Wait till we find out who he is. It's kind of interesting.
Quite the backstory.
Yes, he does have quite the backstory. And quite honestly, I think now that his backstory is making public news today, I think they're not going to have him standing in back of the president.
Were most people allowed to promote their own personal website standing behind a president? I don't see that unless it's by accident.
President's very entrepreneurial. I think he likes the idea of that.
He plugs his own stuff.
Well, that's true. But I don't know. It's just interesting when you go to that website, what you see, what you find. And maybe that should have been vetted, too.
You would think. Well, they have a lot of other irons in the fire over there at the White House.
To focus on.
Yes. They're very busy trying to keep the thing from burning down. So we will we'll share with you some of the details of this guy's past, including a murder conspiracy charge.
He has a criminal past, and he's got quite the political activist past.
And quite an interesting view of the world. He's gone through a number of iterations politically. He started as a black nationalist.
Supremacist.
Which is really something. And then he kind of flipped around. He found Trump. He liked Rick Santorum for a while.
Yeah, he was pictured at his rallies.
And he also believes that the Cherokee Nation tried to steal America from white people. And he's opposed to that. In case you're wondering which side of that he's on, he was opposed to that. I think the Cherokees were bad for trying to steal America. So I bet, I just kind of think that really what you end up with there is it's not the same. It's not, it's a little different.
He believes Hillary Clinton is a Ku Klux Klan member and Oprah, he says, is the devil. Just so you know some of the views he's espoused in the past.
All right. Well, congratulations to him for
getting his website out there.
Yes.
Maybe he has some new followers.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, that's coming your way. Oh, and you will want to stay tuned for this. The top five is it's top five drunk Trump moments from last night.
Like the things he said?
The things he said, and we're doing the, because I think we invented this, and it was stolen by late-night television.
Seen it 100 times.
From us, but whatever. The drunk Trump moments.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I've heard them.
Okay.
Because it is kind of a funny thing. When you play Donald Trump in real time, like you replay the audio of what he's doing in real time, or you watch it live. You stop and you think, my God, that's such a strange sentence that's coming out of a president of the United States' mouth, right? Especially the braggadocious kind of stuff. But then when you slow it up, it's like every drunk at a bar you've ever sat next to. It totally, and you're like, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah.
And another thing.
Smitty from the bar, that guy. And it's, and that's right. And that's what it turned. And when, so and last night had a lot of them because it was an hour and 20 minutes.
It's a lot of stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I think it's his own therapy. I think we need to get the president a therapy dog. Do you see somebody was arguing that he needed to get a dog? It's time for you to get a dog.
Don't all presidents have a dog?
Yeah.
Just about?
He'd be like the first, I think he'd be the first president ever not to have a dog.
Hmm. That's interesting. I'm going to look that up.
You know, they say don't trust people that don't like dogs.
I know. Well, I don't. I don't trust people who don't like dogs. And I don't trust people with more than three cats.
Oh, okay.
Also a good rule to live by.
Mm-hmm.
Three is the number?
Three is the number.
Two, okay.
Two, three. Kind of an understanding. Three, okay, whatever. You might have adopted one, but if you, like four plus, mm-hmm. then we got problems, people.
If there's four plus, that means there's double digits around. They don't know about it.
Right, there's more. And the house is going to just smell funny. Yep, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. It was wacky speech last night. No two ways around. Today is back on the prompter. Today in Reno, Nevada, he's back on the prompter, and it was, you know, it is calling for calm. he caused a fire, and now he's calling the fire department.
Very different tone today, though. You're right.
He had a good tonality on Monday, and then he's just like a drunk at a bar last night, and then he's back to being. You know, he woke up sober this morning. Even though the man doesn't drink, this is the damnedest thing. I wonder what it'd be like if he drank. Maybe it went the other way.
Has he ever been someone who has?
No, he never drank because his brother drank himself to death.
That was it, the backstory, yeah.
And he didn't want anything to do with that. As a matter of fact, he forbids his children from drinking. Although, I think they're going to take it up now. If they haven't already.
I mean, look at Obama smoked, remember? To sort of get the stress out and, I don't know, what do you do?
I don't know, but I would suggest that the kids should all have a... Well, remember there was a Don Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how we haven't heard from him.
He's kind of out of the picture.
Since
what was that? Oh, right.
Well, I got to say this. I mean, the president, if he wants to, you know, maybe, we always go with this. Maybe he's a genius and he's doing all this intentionally to distract us. Because we haven't talked about Don Jr. or Russia like in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the...
Well, the Russia narrative really has been secondary.
Right, to the wacky narrative. Anyway, what we decided to do was take, this is a 77-minute speech last night. Well, let me open it up and then I'll explain what we're doing here. This is an experimental Top 5 at 5.
Okay. It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
All right, so what we decided to do on the Top 5 here is to take, since it was a 77-minute speech, take the five, it's actually going to be six, funniest moments from last night, and we are giving them the drunk Trump treatment.
Uh-oh. There we go.
Slowing it down a little bit. If he were drunk at a bar, this is basically what it would sound like. So, checking in at...
Number five.
The president claimed that under his leadership, the United States has achieved the lowest unemployment rate in 17 years. Now, of course, that's a change from using that same statistic a year ago. Mm-hmm. Talked about how that's not true. That it was really very, very high unemployment in America, even though the numbers are the percentage rates are, you know, within tenths of a point of each other from a year ago. It's still he's made America great again. Just
still
by being
very
there.
Low, very low.
It is. There's no question. So we want it to be low.
Yep.
But he is taking, as presidents will do. He's not the first, nor will he be the last to do this. But he's taking excessive credit for this. And he said it's a combination of low unemployment and higher wages could be good to lower the racial tensions in America. You know what you need to do to lower racial tensions is basically this.
I believe wages now
because the economy is doing so well with respect to employment and unemployment, I believe wages will start to go up, and I think that will have a tremendously positive impact on race relations.
I think he's getting tired there at the end.
Wouldn't you? 77 minutes? That was a long speech.
You know what? Is it true? I mean, it works so well.
Like the person at the bar, sir, they start slumping over.
Right. Is what's gonna do race relations?
Sentences start drowning out.
Oh my god! Now checking in at
number four.
This is I found this weird, where he wanted to defend his friend Jeffrey Lord,
mm-hmm.
and what they did to him at CNN. Now, Jeffrey Lord, as you'll recall, he was a CNN pro-Trump guy, right? And CNN, and the thing is that CNN is always going to have a cast of pro-Trump people,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the whole bit in cable news.
They had Kayleigh McEnany until she moved over to the Trump, actually working for the White House.
Right. So they have these people who, you know, they hire specifically for that.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are former public officials of some sort, lieutenant governors from here and former senators and former congressmen from there and some business types and some people who worked for the Trump organization in the past. And because this is the whole thing is orchestrated. The fighting is orchestrated. You hire the people to make it a fight.
Yeah.
You need, because otherwise people aren't going to watch it or everybody's agreeing. You need to have somebody up there that, and you know, Fox News does the same thing. Fox News puts people up there to fight the other side.
Like they do with The Five, and Juan Williams is the one guy.
Right.
Goes up against Juan Williams, Jesse and the rest of them.
Been the one guy forever and ever and ever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Although Juan Williams is a respected guy.
Oh, totally.
I think in a lot of other in other cable news operations and other things, they try to hire people that can be easily defeated.
But you can still tell the balance of the show when you go to Fox and there are four against one. And sometimes on the CNN panels, you've got the four against one
right.
kind of situation.
Four
on the
against
other side.
One or five against two or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
It's, yeah, it's just
it's basically
it
an alley mugging every night.
Exactly.
You know, depending on how you want to look
or
at
you
it.
Picked who's going to win.
So here he is defending his buddy Jeffrey Lord. Now, again, this is drunk Trump doing this. And the fact that CNN is just failing.
I mean, do you ever see anything, and then you wonder why CNN is doing relatively poorly in the ratings? Because they're putting like seven people all negative on Trump, and they fired Jeffrey Lord. Poor Jeffrey. Jeffrey Lord. I guess he was getting a little bit fed up and he was probably fighting back a little too hard. They said, we better get out of here. We get him out.
This is the next step of drunk emotional.
Yeah, right. Where he's going to cry.
And he actually slurred there.
And he said relatively bad ratings.
Relatively bad ratings.
And forgetting words.
Well, the Jeffrey Lord thing, too, he got fired because he tweeted Sig Heil at somebody. I mean, that was the sort of the end of that. Mm-hmm. And
he says it was in jest, but that's not something you really raise in jest. He said you were talking about fascism, and he says he respects CNN, but that's not the way it was intended. It wasn't intended as a support of Hitler.
Poor Jeffrey.
Poor Jeffrey. Such a lovable guy, too.
You know, he worked for Ronald Reagan. He never mentioned that ever, except in every single sentence. Oh man, he's a very good defender of the president, though. So he'll pop up somewhere.
Yeah, I think he will.
Yeah,
maybe he'll be on that same channel that Kayleigh McEnany's on.
I think CNN should have given him the opportunity. They should have kept him, and they should have given him the opportunity to explain that and to publicly. Distance himself from Nazism. The fact that we have to do this now in America is a bit of a shock.
It is.
You know, it's one of those moments. All right, but first we'll get to your 3, 2, 1. Here is Violetta Pattermatic with your WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, brought to you by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Wake up and watch the new WGN-TV Early Morning News with Lauren Jiggetts, Dan Ponce, Traffic with Sarah Gindra, and Weather with Morgan Kolkmeyer. It's all weekdays 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Check it out.
All right, we continue with your Top 5 at 5, and this is a special edition of the Top 5 at 5. Mm-hmm. Top 5 drunk Trump moments from last night's rally in Phoenix,
highlights.
Arizona. Here he is blasting the media for misinterpreting or not giving him enough credit for all the positive things that he said in the aftermath of the Charlottesville tragedy.
Number 3.
So, they were having a hard time with that one because I said everything. I hit them with neo-Nazi. I hit them with everything. I got the white supremacists, the neo-Nazi. I got them all in there, let's say. Yeah, KKK, we have KKK. I got them all.
Oh no.
This is the phase when you're ready to fight.
Yeah. Right? This is when you sort of woke up and like, where am I? Let's fight.
I'll take them all.
Take all you out. Man.
I hit him with neo-Nazi. I got them all in there. Yeah. Is that really the...
I love the people of our country. The people. All of the people. It says, I love all of the people of our country. I didn't say I love you because you're black, or I love you because you're white, or I love you because you're from Japan, or you're from China, or you're from Kenya, or you're from Scotland or Sweden. I love all the people of our country.
You hit everybody there. Sweden, Japan.
This is where you're trying to make up to everybody in the bar. I love everyone.
Sorry. Are you from Japan?
I'm sorry I like tried you. To fight everyone. I love everyone.
And when he couldn't think of the first country, pause.
Who's, right, exactly. In his own head. Wait, what's the name of a country?
Give me a country.
I love you because you're from Japan.
I don't know that he got them all in there, as he claims.
And then he was like very...
I like the fact that he's got... All he's coming up with are Asians,
right.
and black
sweet.
People. Like, yeah, he got the Kenyan and then blondes and hot blondes.
Yeah, I know.
Right. He was stuck in certain areas. He's like...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It doesn't get any better than that. I think
really
we should
doesn't.
Just stop
it's
right
hard.
There.
It's hard to go from there.
All right. Checking in at...
Number 2.
Then the president made clear how he feels and who he feels is the real problem with his administration. He took a bit of a strange turn, which he appeared to ridicule the media for not being as elite as he is.
You know, I was a good student. I always hear about the elite, you know, the elite, they're elite. I went to better schools than they did. I was a better student than they were. I live in a bigger, more beautiful apartment, and I live in the White House too, which is really great. I think, you know what? I think we're the elites. They're not the elites.
This is where you're like, a bartender, check, please. I gotta get out of here.
Cut him off.
I got
cut him off. Cut him off. You know what? Let's call a cab. Call a cab.
You need one too, sir?
Yeah.
You okay?
Get his keys.
You went to better schools.
And him
in
the crowd
better house.
I like,
isn't that amazing? He's the president of the United States. And he's like talking about how smart and great he is.
Like they're all kind of one. I'm sure everybody in that room lives in similar penthouses.
You know what I'm talking about. You live in Trump Tower. Oh, God.
Can you do that every day?
You know what? He has never really released his grades from
Wharton?
From Wharton. Or from University of Pennsylvania. I don't think he doesn't have a graduate school degree. He's got an undergrad degree from University of Pennsylvania, which has the Wharton School of Business in it. And you can technically go to the Wharton School of Business as an undergraduate, but...
I think you should have to take a test to become president. If you don't get a 90% and up, you just can't do it.
Rounded or not rounded?
It doesn't matter. I don't
On a curve?
Yeah, sure, on a curve, but at least a history test.
How about just an IQ test?
How about an EQ test?
How about...
Number one.
All right, now, the president was in Arizona last night, and there are two senators in Arizona who just happen to be Republicans, but the president, who I guess also happens to be a Republican, doesn't like.
He made that clear.
John McCain and Jeff Flake. Now, he clearly blamed the Obamacare repeal and replace failure thus far. It will eventually get replaced. I don't know about repealed, but replaced. He blamed where we sit with this right now with John McCain without mentioning his name.
Obamacare is a disaster. And think, we were just one vote away from victory after 7 years of everybody proclaiming repeal and replace, one vote away.
At least that's relevant to policy. I mean, I don't know. It's not comparing your eliteness and trying to call out your enemies or rail on everyone else.
Think of it. 7 years, but we are one vote away from repeal. They all said, Mr. President, your speech was so good last night. Please, Mr. President, don't mention any names. So I won't. No, I won't vote. One vote away, I will not mention any names. Very presidential, isn't it? Very presidential.
Oh, yeah. So
never, ever. This bit has never worked this well.
Right. And when you repeat it twice, it really makes it even funnier.
He does. He does that a lot. All right.
7 years!
All right. Well,
Did I tell you how many years?
Yeah.
7 years!
Okay. Do you want to drive him home or should I drive him home?
Exactly. Did you hear he's kind of repeating himself?
Which car is he driving?
He's repeating himself.
Exactly. Right, that's when you leave the party, when the person repeats himself.
You're like, oh, we heard that one already.
Yeah. Or I love you because you're from Japan.
Kenya and Sweden. That wraps up everybody.
I would actually like to listen to that. It would be 77 minutes. It was 77 minutes of real time. So it would be about 90 minutes if we did it this way.
Yeah.
But it'd almost be worth it to listen to the entire speech in drunk Trump. All right.
Even though he doesn't drink.
Yes. Even though he doesn't drink. He should. We should. Did you see America is drinking more now than they ever have been? Like 27, they set a record in 2017.
So...
There's not enough alcohol.
I think he has another story to tell us. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we gotta go.
The top five at five.
Rococho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Back from the bar. Did we lose him?
He just left. I don't know. I hope he didn't drive.
I hope he didn't follow us to the next bar.
There was a top five of drunk Trump from last night. And Trump just lends himself so perfectly to that bit. I mean, everybody does. If you slow down anybody's
sure.
voice, that
kind of
works. But using Donald Trump's fractured sentences and cadence, it's almost perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty
almost
pretty
perfect.
Darn close to perfect. Okay. And then you hear the words again. You're like, did we change them? No, none of those words were changed. They were said at the Phoenix rally.
We, right. We didn't do anything to it except slow it down. That's the only thing we did to it. That's how it works. All right. Let me, speaking of presidents, mm-hmm. the, you know, there was this, more talk now that the president doesn't have a dog, right? There was mm-hmm. some guy, last week, was it I think it was a senator who said, you know, this is about time. The president, if he needs to have like a reset, he should go get a dog. I mean, this is the, you know, uh-huh. this sort of changes everything if you get a dog.
Travel internationally, show your presidential, or get a dog and you look nice and soft and
right. And then you could,
friendly.
You could be playing with the dog in the yard, throw a ball. Although then we're going to see him throw a ball, which could be disastrous for him. Because he may not be the athlete he says he is. Or that Anthony Scaramucci said he was. Saw him throw a tire, a football right through a tire from 100 yards. I could use him then.
Yeah.
Huh?
Suit him up.
So I said, and I was in error when I said this, that he's the only president not to have a pet. It turns out there were two presidents who didn't have pets prior to him. Mm-hmm. Andrew Jackson never had a pet.
Mm-hmm.
Similar, by the way, remember the President Trump always thinks he's like Andrew Jackson, loves Andrew Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Polk, I think, was the other one.
And Polk, right.
Did not have a pet, but really, that anyone remembers. There's totally the exception, though, when you look. A lot of presidents had not only dogs, but cockatoos. They had.
I have a list right
exotic
here.
Exotic pets.
You're going to find this interesting.
Warren Harding had a pet, too. We got to get to that.
Well,
don't forget that.
Don't worry, we
don't
will.
Love the name.
Don't worry. George Washington had he had American staghounds called Sweet Lips.
Sweet Lips.
Oh, God.
That's terrible. Have names changed?
I have no idea what George Washington sounded like, but I just sort of maybe it turns out George Washington was kind of a, hey, how you doing?
I wonder if that was weird back then, because it seems weird now.
What's up?
Sweet Lips.
He had Sweet Lips, Sentwell, and Vulcan. He also had coonhounds named Drunkard, Taster, Tippler, and Tipsy.
Oh, no.
I think Washington was a drunk. He might have been.
I don't know.
How else are you going to get through Valley Forge? He had a parrot.
Yeah,
Martha Washington had a parrot. It was Martha's, actually.
And it's always dangerous having a parrot in the house.
And then he had stallions: Samson, Steady, Leonidas, Traveler, and Magnolia.
Oh, Traveler.
He had a Traveler.
Oh,
there that name is.
Right,
again.
Like Robert E. Lee had a Traveler, and USC has a Traveler, and now we're going to have to get rid of it.
And that just speaks to, I think, how common that name is. Judy pointed out earlier.
Right.
Horses,
so, I mean,
named Traveler.
So before people get all nuts at USC, we did the story earlier that USC is considering banning the white horse named Traveler from USC games because Traveler was the name of the horse of Robert E. Lee. Well, but it was also George Washington's horse.
Yeah.
What do you do? Get rid of George Washington's horse, too?
You should bring that up.
Don't worry, he will. John Adams had dogs named Juno, Mark, and Satan.
Satan?
He had a dog named Satan?
Yeah.
That's.
Well, he had a dog named Mark. I mean, isn't it? You're not supposed to name your dogs real names.
People do. Rex,
hey, Mark,
Sam.
Come here.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, people do that.
Uh-oh. This is a tough one.
Uh-oh.
Thomas Jefferson had a mockingbird named Dick.
I wonder how he got that name.
Come here, Dick. Dick the Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Good old Dick the Mockingbird.
He also had a dog named Buzzy. He had two bear cubs.
Oh, gosh. Don't they grow up to not be so cute? Isn't that what we know about bear cubs?
Jamie.
They're so cute. Can we bring them home?
Until they grow up.
Please.
I hope he didn't shoot the mother.
Right. How do you get to
yeah,
bear
I know.
Cubs?
Yeah, let's not talk
There's
about that part.
A lot of question marks there.
Yeah.
That's the rug.
And that was Jefferson. I mean, you know, who knows?
Got to forgive him.
Yeah. James Madison had a parrot named Polly. This may be where it all started. The whole Polly want a cracker thing might have started with James Madison. I don't know. Let's see here. We've got John Quincy Adams had an alligator that he received from Lafayette.
Oh, wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Where did he keep that? On the ground? On the ground?
They say it's a swamp in Washington.
Perfect. Alligator. I mean, what is it? And how do you, back then, how'd you get an alligator up there? Carefully.
Very carefully.
Very carefully. Andrew, wait, no, hold on. It was Johnson who didn't have a.
Huh?
Johnson didn't have a pet. Jackson had pets.
Jackson had pets?
Andrew Jackson had pets. Andrew Johnson did not. Andrew Jackson also had a parrot named Polly. He had fighting cocks.
Oh, gosh.
Named Dick.
I was okay then.
And then he he had horses named Bolivia, Emily, Lady Nashville, Sam Patches, and Truxton.
See, I didn't envision them having cool pet names back in the day. I thought they'd be very, like, boring.
Like dignified?
Yeah, like dignified or just, like, I don't know.
Like long, like fancy names?
Yeah, like nothing cute and, like, fuzzy and warm like people do with animals now.
Mm-hmm. William Henry Harrison had a Durham cow called Suki.
Suki.
And he had a goat that was unnamed.
Just don't name goats, I guess.
I think he probably ate the goat. Oh, you never name them.
Sort of part pet, part meal. Yeah.
John Tyler, we never talk about him as a president.
Really
People
don't.
Forget about
underrated.
Him. He had a canary called Johnny Ty. Uh-oh. That's code. You know how that goes. This is almost Warren G. Harding. That's my little Johnny Ty right there.
To him.
You know what I'm saying? I got a canary, and it sings, if you know what I mean. He probably didn't even have a canary. He just told people that. That was his come on line.
You want to see my canary?
Yeah.
Come on over. I'll show it to you.
I've got
my canary right here. Which is unusual because the zipper hadn't been invented back then.
He was ahead of the times.
Yep. Oh, this is going to be trouble. Zachary Taylor had a horse named Old Whitey. That's going to cause trouble. Actually, maybe USC should change the name of their horse to Old Whitey, and then
everything's fine now, guys.
Then all of a sudden,
Zachary Taylor
fine.
Had that horse.
Yeah.
Why not?
And then the activists could be all upset. Well, what are you going to do about that? We're just going to call him Whitey. What do you think?
I don't think that one works.
Okay.
Doesn't stand the test of
Still
time.
Doesn't work, huh?
Yeah. Franklin Pierce, once again, somebody that we never talk about as president, had 7 miniature Oriental dogs. And 2 birds from Japan.
Oh,
no names.
From where?
Japan. Not China. Japan.
Yeah, where were they from, Mr. President?
Hmm.
Where could they have been from?
From the 3 places he mentioned last night. I love people from Japan and Kenya and Sweden.
Think about it.
Japan!
Okay. James Buchanan had a toy terrier named Punch, and he also had an eagle.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know. Do you get to name an eagle? Because an eagle is not going to stick around for the naming ceremony.
No,
you know what I mean?
Think.
And when you call the eagle by its name, it's not going to show up.
Very patriotic.
Yeah, but if you hold something in the air, it swoops down and eats it.
Lincoln had a couple of goats named Nanny and Nanko.
Oh, sweet.
He had a turkey named Jack.
Maybe that's how the turkey pardon started.
he had a dog named Fido.
Hmm.
See, and that's where that started, right? That had to have started there.
Right, we found like
out
Polly
James Madison,
parrot,
Polly the parrot, and now
Fido the dog.
Yeah.
That's how they became so popular. Probably.
He had another dog named Jip.
Ah, good old Jip.
Tabby and Dixie were his cats.
Go cats.
And then he had a horse and a rabbit. That just explains everything right there.
So many animals.
Mm-hmm.
So little time.
Now, Andrew Johnson did not have a pet, but he was known to feed the white mice that were found in his bedroom at the White House.
Ew.
That place is a dump, by the way. It was a dump then. It's a dump now.
Totally infested.
White mice?
I think those
are pets.
I
right?
know.
They're not like normal mice.
No. Let's see. Ulysses S. Grant had a Newfoundland called Faithful. And 2 ponies, Billy Button and Reb.
Ponies?
Great
ponies,
names.
Yeah. Rutherford B. Hayes. Oh, he had a lot of things. He had a Cocker Spaniel named Dot.
Hmm.
Had a Newfoundlander named Hector. an English Mastiff named Duke, Greyhound named Grim. Oh, that's sad. A miniature Schnauzer named Otis. He had hunting dogs Juno and Shep. Another dog named Jet. Piccolomini was a cat.
Great name.
And Siam, the first Siamese cat in the United States, by the way.
See, think about Rutherford how presidents influence pet ownership.
And this is where it gets bad. A Siamese cat named Miss Pussy.
Some things haven't changed.
What's the name of it?
Miss Pussy.
Gifts from the King of Siam.
Yes, a gift from the King of Siam.
Did you can't change the name.
Hey, President Hazy. I am bringing you your own special cat from a Siam.
What's the name?
His name is a Siam, and he's a bigger wife, Miss Pussy.
Huh?
James Garfield had a horse named Kit.
That's great.
You still on the last one there?
No, I'm moving on.
It's just moving on from there. Probably a good idea.
Benjamin Harrison had a goat named Whiskers.
You forgot Vito the dog. Garfield had the dog named Vito, which is a great name.
Right. He did have a dog named Vito. Like, not like Vito, like Vito Corleone, like Vito, like to veto a bill.
Yes.
V-E-T-O.
That's actually pretty clever.
What was the cat's name?
But say it in the accent, in the Vietnamese accent.
Vito! Now what if Miss Pussy got loose in the White House and they never found her after Rutherford B. Hayes left and James Garfield came in and Vito the dog ate Miss Pussy the cat?
Oh, you're walking around the house yelling for it?
Miss Pussy! Miss Pussy! We can never find that damn cat.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa!
All right.
Little Tom Jones, love that.
Uh-huh. I like how Anna's trying to just make this like anything other than what's going on here.
I know where we go as a show on these things.
All right.
And it makes me nervous.
Teddy Roosevelt had a lot of things. He had a hen, a pony. He had guinea pigs.
A lizard.
He had a lizard named Bill. He had a Manchester Terrier. He had a blue macaw. He had a garter snake named Emily Spinach.
Boy.
He had dogs. He had terriers. He had a small bear. Dogs are terriers. He had a small bear named Jonathan Edwards. He had a rat. He had a badger, a Pekingese, a pig, a rabbit.
A hyena. He had like a full zoo.
And several cats named Tom Quartz and Slippers.
Mm-hmm. And a one-legged rooster.
Right, a one-legged rooster.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently Miss Pussy had eaten the rooster's leg. She just lived forever and ever and ever in the White House. If someone had told Donald Trump that there was a cat there once named that in the White House.
He could have used that for cover?
Yeah.
Somehow?
Not a dump. Like it a lot. Or he could have used it for getaway. I was just trying to find the cat. All right. Woodrow Wilson had a cat named Puffins, which is exactly why we had so much trouble. And then he also had a bull terrier named Bruce and songbirds. Who needs that?
Kind
now, Warren G. Harding.
Yeah, let's hear about Warren.
Oh, man.
We've learned so much about him on this show.
Yeah. Warren G. Harding had an Airedale named Laddie Boy.
Laddie Boy.
A bulldog named Old Boy.
Mm.
And a canary named Petey. I'm just really glad that he did not have a parrot that would repeat what was going on. In the White House.
It could be a problem having a parrot in the White House. Several presidents somehow turned to them.
Silken thighs in paradise. Silken thighs in paradise. Jerry's coming. Jerry's coming.
No. This is why they're a problem.
Let's see here. Herbert Hoover had a Belgian shepherd named King Tut. And that was just all dogs, I think, for
all
President
dogs.
Hoover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you had two alligators.
Two alligators.
Alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Does that soften your image, or does that sort of go the other way?
Yeah, I don't think it helps you. To be honest with you, I don't think there's anything good about that. FDR had dogs, the Scottish Terriers, German Shepherd, a Llewellyn Setter, And he had a great Dane named President and a bold mastiff named Blaze.
Oh, big dogs and a little one.
Harry Truman had a cocker spaniel named Feller. JFK,
this is interesting.
Everybody moved to dogs, except when JFK came in, he had dogs. He had a poodle, a Welsh terrier. He had a cat named Tom Kitten. He had a canary named Robin. Mm-hmm. He had parakeets. Oh, those talk, don't they?
I think, but I don't know if they repeat as much as parrots do.
He had a pony. He actually had a couple of ponies. He had a hamster.
You see, he had a rabbit named Zsa Zsa. I wonder if there's a story there. I mean, I'm just asking. JFK.
Because Zsa Zsa's rabbit died, and I had to get her a new one.
What?
Oh, God. He did have a rabbit named Zsa Zsa. How do you think she's doing? She's dead.
A lot of girl names for his animal pets.
And,
it turns out,
yes,
Debbie, mm-hmm, the hamster.
Oh, by the way, Gerald Ford had another Siamese cat.
Oh, they're catching on.
Yes, not named Miss Pussy, because he wouldn't have understood that anyway if it were. All right, here is Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. So many things going on here. CNN is breaking a story, by the way, before people get all too hysterical about it. But it is a story right now that's breaking that a congressional committee looking into the Trump-Russia circumstance. Remember, I said earlier today, Russia's been out of the news.
Yep.
Until just now. Just at the top of this hour, CNN is releasing a story that the congressional investigative one—they're not saying House or Senate here—but they're saying one of those two is looking at an email that was sent by a then Trump campaign aide, now a guy who's a deputy chief of staff at the White House, who was asking for a meeting with Putin with senior campaign officials and Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. Potentially including the candidate himself, Donald Trump.
The aide is named as Rick Dearborn, who is now deputy chief of staff. And there's a brief email in question.
So there we have it. So we'll see if that pops back into the news. It's a little unclear, though, if that's standard.
If they ever connected or what happened and if he was reluctant to entertain it or how he responded.
It appears not to have happened. So there's that. But what was the intent of doing it and all that? So we'll see. So that got leaked out today. Where are the leaks? I mentioned this earlier. Let me just do this very quickly, for those who are waiting for this. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but because it's gotten everywhere now. The guy, the strange story of Trump's black guy.
The one guy behind him in Phoenix.
Who's been behind him in a number of different rallies since he was a candidate. Mm-hmm. And there is some stories have now developed today because you saw him at the Phoenix rally yesterday and he's very animated. And he keeps holding up this sign for a website that's not a Trump website.
He had Blacks for Trump, but then right underneath it in pretty prominent lettering was the link to his website, which, woo boy, woo.
It's really something. He has been at a number of political rallies over the past year. He's referring to himself as Michael the Black Man. He's also known, though, to law enforcement and on the Internet by a number of different aliases. Michael Simonette, Michael Woodside, Michael Israel. Hmm. He has not only inspired trending Twitter hashtags, but a great deal of curiosity and Google searches.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine his website. How many people have gone there just out of curiosity alone?
The radical fringe activist from Miami once belonged to a violent black supremacist religious cult. Mm-hmm.
Yep, we have those.
And he runs apparently a handful of amateur, unintelligible conspiracy websites. He has referred to Barack Obama as the Beast and Hillary Clinton as a Ku Klux Klan member. Mm-hmm. Oh, Oprah Winfrey is the devil.
Oprah, yeah, Satan.
So he might not 100% be...
He might be. Yeah, he gave an interview to the Miami Herald saying that it's more that he's anti-Hillary, but he likes Trump's tax plan. And he links, yeah.
I'd like to see that tax plan. Do we have one? Because I'm planning on winning the lottery tonight, and when I do, I'm going to need the Trump tax cut.
And you can buy one of his T-shirts on that website, if just for commerce purposes. That he that's pretty prominent on his web page, where you can get the Buy Blacks for Trump T-shirts. Click here to see all the colors.
Do you think he has a lot of followers
and merchandise?
This guy, Michael the Black Man?
Yes.
I don't know. Sarah Huckabee Sanders had to respond to an inquiry about him, like, who is he? What's he all about? And she's like, well, you're going to have to ask the campaign. I don't know. That's White House. Last night was a campaign event. We're White House. We're much more important than that.
Totally,
I gotta
not
go.
Me. Somebody else.
Right. I got to go. Phone's ringing.
I'm going to let the black guy for Trump speak for himself.
Right. His words speak. His website speak for themselves, if you can understand them.
And it really kind of does. And you can't understand it.
Okay.
So he's against the Cherokees. He's against the Hillary, the Democrats. And he links them all together to the KKK and some other things, too. And Oprah, too. She's in there.
A lot of questions about how he actually got into the rally last night. And it is interesting because he did an interview with our former home, WLS Radio. Mm. And this guy did. And he said the Secret Service has seen him a lot of times. And that he arrived at the arena at 8 o'clock in the morning. So he just went in and walked up there and stood there.
What?
Yes.
So they didn't?
Again, people, this guy was accused of a murder conspiracy in Florida. You might want to double check if there's a guy standing still at 8 o'clock in the morning at a podium behind the president. You might want to ask who he is and what he's doing. In July, he posted a video of himself at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, he was at Mar-a-Lago, too.
Yeah.
Boy.
But the problem is that was July. The president has been, it's not the season. Remember when the president gave us a big speech about the season? Mm-hmm. I don't go there unless it's the season. We call it the season. It's very important. So people go. It's good. It's like November through March, the season. It's when he's telling us about the elites.
Right. You don't want to go off season.
And let's see. They also, he has been on, he's been on TV a number of times with Trump over the last year.
I saw him there. Someone isolated he was behind Huckabee during the primaries and has appeared at a lot of Republican rallies, not necessarily just Trump, before he became president.
Okay.
He's been charged with multiple crimes, never convicted, has his own radio show, and when he talks about there, he talks about his political beliefs.
Before he called himself Michael the Black Man, he identified as Maurice Woodside. Around 1980, he joined a cult led by Hulon Mitchell Jr., who went by the name Yahweh Ben Yahweh. I was going to use that name, and I don't know why.
It's already taken.
Why did I not?
Taken.
Why didn't I do that? Woodside followed Yahweh's fiery teachings for years, and even after the leader allegedly denied his dying, cancer-stricken mother medical treatment and instead prescribed her vegetables, nuts, and herbs. I'm sure nuts were easy to find in this cult.
Plenty of them.
In the early 1990s, the New Times reported that Woodside, Yahweh, and 14 other members of the cult were arrested by federal agents and charged with racketeering and murder conspiracy.
So he's charged but not convicted.
In 14 murders and a firebombing.
Yeah.
Ricardo Woodside, Maurice's brother, would be, I guess he'd be Ricardo the Black Man, had once been in the cult but left after his mother's death. Woodside testified in court that his brother had helped beat a man Aston Green, who argued with Yahweh Ben Yahweh, and was taken to the Florida Everglades and beheaded with a dull machete. Oh, God.
Gosh. And so he was
this is
the
guy
crime?
That is standing behind standing behind the president. I mean, look, I'm like a few feet away. And you know how Trump, every time Trump, he would make a point and he'd turn around and pace the stage a little bit?
Mm-hmm. He likes to do that.
Or if there's any kind of a, or he turns around and he like points at people back there. There's my black guy. Oh, man.
It's always carefully planned who's behind the candidate or the politician for those rallies and for those types of scenarios, but usually they're pretty well vetted. This doesn't seem like the kind of guy you really
Or maybe he was vetted and President Donald Trump wanted him there.
No.
Somebody who the feds charged with a gruesome beheading in 1990? I don't know.
His brother testified that he was part of a gruesome beheading. He also testified that this guy was a cult member who stabbed a Louisiana man named Leonard Dupree in the eye with a sharp stick. There's nothing worse than that, right? There's a lot of things better than that.
That's horrible. But again, not convicted on these things. He was charged with a lot of different crimes. 14, did you say? I read
the. Well, no, it was 14. It was 14 counts of murder conspiracy.
14 counts.
In later years, he changed his name to Maurice Simonette, eventually became Michael the Black Man, an anti-Democrat, or as he calls them, Demoncrats. He preaches the Bible and abhors homosexuality. He started a private radio station, Boss 104.1 FM. You're listening to the Boss. Beheading tomorrow morning at 7:20.
We'll describe who is Satan in America.
Sharp stick of the eye at 7:40.
Yeah.
And a dull beheading at 8:10. Join me tomorrow morning on the Boss. At an Obama campaign speech in Coral Gables, Florida in 2008, he and a group of other protesters loudly interrupted the future president, Barack, go home, and waved signs that declared Obama endorsed by the KKK. I don't remember that endorsement.
I don't remember that.
I remember the UAW. I don't remember the KKK.
Nope. Not something I remember. It's possible that they would have known that backstory. I mean, but he was pictured so prominently
now
on the broadcast.
This interview that he did this morning on LS, he talked about his claims that Cherokee Indians were the real slave masters. It was Cherokee Indians who brought the slaves over, and that they were trying to steal the United States from white people. Mm.
So that's still what he talks about. That's not a past thing.
Cherokee Indians, like Chief Bill Baker, are mostly white people, he said. And Sir John Hawkins, who was the first man to get slaves commissioned by Queen Elizabeth I, he was absolutely a Cherokee Indian, and almost everybody he had were Cherokee Indians. And the Cherokee Indians had money, and they were the only ones able to really afford slaves, and almost all of them were the ones that had slaves in all the slave states and the states where reservations were located.
That seems a little bit.
And this is the guy who was standing behind Trump for an hour and 17 minutes last night with an arm's length, and nobody seemed to know.
Huh? Oh, boy.
Okay. Now, I don't think he's the only nutty guy back there, by the way.
If
you've noticed that a lot of these rallies, generally the people who are, like, activated, the one thing, and then here's the one thing that Democrats do that's different. Mm-hmm. As they go and they choose people, some of them may even be actors, who knows. They choose people who just kind of look like a part. Like, it's almost like commercial casting.
Like you're representing a certain part of the population that you would like to have vote for you kind of thing.
I need a guy. I need an Asian guy with glasses. Might be a computer operator. Right. Put him right there.
Looks like a tech guy.
I need a young Hispanic mother. Put her right there. You know, it's like, you know, so they do it like that. And Trump, at least with the Trump people so far, they've been just trying to, you know, smush as many people who, you know, they can. And they have a lot of people who look like they just got off a golf course. Did you notice that last night? That there was one guy that's still in his golf shirt, you know, with his wife. And they're all so excited to be there. Mm-hmm. Look at this, honey. This is exactly what we were saying at the country club.
There's that one guy at the very beginning was holding the Women for Trump sign. Did you notice that the bright pink and he's holding it? It's like they just handed out the signs and no one really looked at them right away. And I'm like, pretty sure that's a guy. And then suddenly it moved over and it was in someone else's hands. But you know, it's the motivated base that was back there.
Yeah. And this
guy. Excited. And this guy.
And this guy. The guy who actually was accused of actually poking somebody with a sharp stick in the eye. Yeah, I didn't even realize that was even a thing.
Did you see the president at one point give a thumbs up and said, great signs, great signs.
Really great signs.
And that guy's right behind him with his own website promotion. I didn't know that was allowed, but I don't know what makes sense anymore.
Great signs, sir. I love that. Women for Trump. Great. All right. We live in the onion world now. This is it.
You're not sure. You're just not sure if it's an onion headline or reality.
It is a weird, it's like a weird dream. It is like a weird dream. So at moments it feels like a nightmare, and other times it just feels like a dream where things are just a little off. When you wake up, you go, oh my God, honey, I just woke up. I had this dream that Donald Trump is president. That he actually, no, he won, and then he did like all these things that a guy like Donald Trump would do if he were president. All right.
That's true.
Let's talk about the Bears. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Let's do that on the other side of Judy's news at the bottom of the hour. Adam Hogue is there. Turns out that if you're a Mitchell Trubisky, I want him to be the starter kind of person, you might actually be getting your wish sooner than you think.
Wow.
Hogue reports. That's all coming your way. But first, Violetta Powdermedic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
Here's something I think we knew,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't want to talk about before.
What's that?
That your cell phone is 17 times dirtier than a toilet seat.
Which is so gross when you think about it. But you think about all the places you leave and put your cell phone, including on the sink when you're, you know, when you're washing your hands in the public restroom.
Yeah, ew. You know, I got to tell you something. Here, you know what the other issue there is?
What? What's the other issue there?
Other issue is that people bring their phone. The phone is the new magazine in the bathroom. Right? Mm-hmm. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's in your hands during the big potty experience. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's there during the little potty experience, too. And you're just praying you don't drop it while you're doing that.
Oh.
And you see, now they have an app on their phones with timers because dads and husbands will go to the bathroom, kill some time, get away from the family.
Yeah.
Sit on the john for 30, 45 minutes.
You know, the older you get, son, the longer it does take.
It's true, though. My brother is like, he'll go to the bathroom. I don't see him for an hour. I'm like, where you been, man?
And he brings his phone.
Read a couple articles.
And his wife is like, she found this app. She's like, I'm going to put this on your phone. You disappear for an hour.
So maybe
she knows his tricks.
He should not be allowed to bring the phone.
Right. I'm a little confused by why people are surprised by this, because it's you're there, and then you know you're doing your thing, and then are you going, you're what, well, you leave the bathroom, you wash your hands, but yeah. Are you washing your phone?
I'm gonna wash mine right now because it grosses me out. It really does. Well, but the thing is, it's such a prized possession, and you have your life on it. You would think we'd be cleaning them and taking better care of them.
But you don't want to clean them because you don't want to, you know.
I know, it's a wet sensitive.
What happens,
right?
If something happens and it, yeah, you know, that's that I did it. Oh, oops.
Or you try to go to the Apple store and say, hey, my phone's not working. They say, well, it's had water damage.
Oh, that's not water. Ew.
Ew.
Oh, God.
Do you take your phone to the bathroom?
But everybody does, though.
Yeah, everyone does.
Right? I mean, that's become the thing.
Can't go to the bathroom if you don't have it with you. Like, you're like, oh, I wonder if I'm missing something.
Right. And it does,
you
know,
if
you're going to be a few minutes, it does kill the time.
Yeah,
right?
But then you forget what you're doing for a second.
And you get rid of, you get all the boring stuff you don't want to, you answer emails, text people.
And it makes me less nervous. You know, like if I go to the bathroom, I'm nervous. It's just immediately nervous because I don't know what's going to happen.
It's distracting.
I have that kind of moment where there's, I don't know if you're like me, but I mean, it's, you're there and you're like, I don't know. This could end poorly for everybody.
You're seeing red.
So I'm like, I just start looking at my phone. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pay attention to this. Whatever happens there is going to happen there. Whatever's happening here, it happened here. And then when it's all over, I'll just, sometimes I just dial 911 first and then wait for the final one. I don't want to waste time.
Set in the phone.
Yeah.
So you could quickly get there if you needed to.
Exactly.
But they say it's your hands that are transporting the germs to your phone.
Well, totally.
And that makes sense because you touch everything. You put it on your phone, then you hold it up to your ear and your mouth.
Right.
It's like, yuck.
Exactly. Although I don't hold it up to my mouth. Very rarely do I talk into the earpiece of the phone. I have like headphones and I do that.
You only talk on speaker so everyone can hear how important you are?
I only talk on speaker because I'm a Kardashian. A reality TV stars can only talk on speaker. Have you noticed that?
Make sure everyone hears the conversation.
I'm very important.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a Chris Kardashian around too to listen in on all your conversations?
Don't tell anybody I'm here. No, she's not here. She's not listening. Mom's not listening.
I won't even tell her.
Anyway, the point is that people wash your phones. Although I don't know. I don't think it's made me sicker.
I guess not. But they say that they put 60% water and 40% rubbing alcohol together, mix the ingredients together, and then gently wipe it across your phone.
And sometimes in the summer you're sweating and then you're on the phone and then you take your phone away
and it's like, ew.
It's like, ugh.
Or if I'm wearing makeup, sometimes the makeup shows up on the
phone. Right. Yeah. And you see what's in your sweat on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And it's like, oh.
I'm like, ew. God, I need a shower.
But it's grimy. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not good. It's definitely not good. All right. Just news you can use. Judy Palak's got news that you should use and should know coming your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Talking Bears.
Yeah.
Bears.
Although people are still commenting about Drunk Trump, the top 5 of 5 Drunk Trump.
It was something special.
That was a moment right there.
People nearly drove off the road,
yes,
we're told.
We may play, before we're done at 7 o'clock, we'll play one more. We'll replay the best one of those.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's one in particular.
From the rally last night. If you do slow him down, he does sound a little. It sounds a little tipsy. All right, Adam Hogue is joining us right now from. He was at Hallis Hall all day today, trying to figure things out. And I just want to make sure that I understand what's happening here, Adam. I want to make sure I'm not wrong about this. It appears that John Fox is lightening up a little bit on the possibility that Mitchell Trubisky could be the starting quarterback. You already saw that the Cleveland Browns have just named their draft pick quarterback from this draft.
Deshaun Kizer,
Notre Dame's Deshaun Kizer as their starting quarterback. Could Mitchell Trubisky be named the Bears starting quarterback by week one?
Yeah, I think that's what we're all wondering. You're right, Ro. The tone has changed a lot from about a month ago when the Bears reported to Bourbonnais when it was Mike Glennon's our starter. Well, all of a sudden things have changed, and the big news today being that Mitch Trubisky is going to get worked in with the ones in Sunday's game in Tennessee. Here's John Fox explaining what his plan is for Sunday against the Titans.
Other news, I think you probably noticed that Mitch Trubisky got some reps with the ones today. It'll probably be more than likely. There's been no change in our quarterback depth chart as far as we're the number 1, 2, and 3. Just this was something we had talked about and planned a long time ago. This is really our last opportunity to get a look at them with the ones. Can't dictate exactly what Tennessee does with their defense, but in that second half to start the third quarter, many people leave their ones in. So we're kind of hoping that that's what happens. But Mike will start the game, play the first half. Mitch will come in, and then we'll figure that out after that. But something we had planned for some time.
I made that totally clear. Isn't that clear? That was totally clear.
They planned it for such a long time that 2 days ago he said they had not talked about it yet.
Wait a second.
Whoa.
It's all part of the master plan.
How are the players handling it when they spoke about it, Glennon and Trubisky?
Yeah, here's the direct question to Mike Glennon on whether or not this has become a quarterback competition.
No. It was clear to me that nothing has changed as far as the depth chart, and Mitch is getting one rep with the
Have you ever been? Wait, I just want to stop you. Have you ever been like in a? Anybody who's ever been fired knows that story. I was just in a meeting yesterday they were discussing the future.
It's all fine.
But Adam, isn't there something to be said? Because I think everybody's a little bit guilty of seeing Mike Glennon play bad and Trubisky plays well, and then that's the end of the story. Trubisky should get the start, but in reality, is Mitch Trubisky ready? Do they think he's ready to actually start a regular season football game? So there really almost isn't even a competition because it's just a matter of when Trubisky's ready or when they deem him ready, correct?
Yeah, and that's been the thing all along. And they're not gonna what they did by coming out so strong and saying Mike Glennon is our starter is to prepare the fans for the possibility that Trubisky might not be ready this year. You know that, but that was always worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. You don't want your number two overall pick to not be ready to play a single game in his rookie year. But yeah, you know, it's smart to kind of prepare for that idea because he is making this huge change from a college offense, and the Bears didn't know how well or how quickly he was going to come along. And actually, Trubisky today, this was the most confident we've heard him talk to us probably since camp began. And he admitted that he has probably caught the Bears off guard a little bit.
I've shown them what I could do. I think I've progressed faster than they expected I would. But I still got a long ways to go, and I know that. But I think I've shown that I've earned these reps, and I just need to continue to get better each day.
And Mike Glennon looks horrible.
That's just
did he say that?
The Glennon part of this may have something to do with why Trubisky is getting – you know, an opportunity on Sunday to get reps with the starters. But the fact that Glennon's still going to play the entire first half, I still think is a pretty good indication that he's probably going to start the season as a starter, whether Bears fans like that or not.
I mean,
football.
Any chance Peyton Manning signs up? And he was at practice at Hallis Hall today.
Yeah,
a day after.
What was he doing?
Yeah, he was talking to Northwestern yesterday. Now he's at Hallis Hall. What was up with that?
He's in town. I wasn't able to figure out exactly what he's in town for. Maybe it's just to talk to Northwestern and the Bears. But he talked to the Cats last night, and I was actually at Northwestern practice earlier today, getting ready for the season, and they were just like, they were so happy with Peyton Manning visiting them. The players were so excited. Clayton Thorson was excited. But apparently whatever he said to them really resonated. Because,
was he decorating cupcakes for him too, showing him how to do that?
And he showed up with some Papa John's pizzas, I think, and handed them out.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. And then today he showed up at practice, and guess what? You know, he had a short conversation with John Fox, and it looked like Fox sent him immediately over to the quarterbacks. And actually, Trubisky told us back in June that he did consult with Peyton Manning during the pre-draft process, that was somebody he talked to about whether or not he should come out early. So so far so good on that end.
Clayton Thorson, Northwestern's quarterback, also had a chance to talk to Manning this offseason as well.
Cool.
Mitchell Trubisky looks very much, reminds me very much of young Peyton Manning. That would be the quarterback I would most associate with him. He's tall. He's not quite as tall as Manning, but then again, you got Glennon, who's like Hodor. I'm not quite sure what he does.
He's got a lot of neck.
He's going to be carrying people. I don't know. I've watched just in the limited amount of time. I mean, Peyton Manning was I would watch a lot of Colts games because mm-hmm. because Peyton Manning was just a guy you just couldn't. When you watch him play quarterback, he was the greatest of his generation and arguably one of the best of all times. I mean, he's in the top five of all times. And watching him live, I saw him twice at Soldier Field, and he was you're stunned to see him be able to find a receiver and hit him. Even when the Bears were particularly good in the 2000s defensively, he would find a way, and he had great receivers, obviously, to find a way to find a guy in stride and put the ball at the very one place where the receiver could catch it and the defensive back was defenseless against it. And over and over and over and over again to be able to see that. And you saw that so much with Trubisky in game one. Now, you didn't see it as much in game two. But yeah. It'll be interesting. But he also had no line play in game two. So I think this is why you have to see him. I hate to get all X's and O's here. But I think this is why you have to see him with the ones. Because you want to see if he really does get called into action here, how is he going to perform with line play the way it's really going to be?
And the Bears are hoping that he'll still be playing against the Titans starters to start the second half, which is a good chance.
Now,
that
was interesting. My guess is that you're going to see, because there's been, this is the Bears organization, this is how they do things. They don't want to let everybody know what's going on. It's very secretive. It's like the Kremlin over there.
Yeah.
They don't want to let you know. But my guess is you would see him, if they're afraid that they're going to lose the ones at the end of this, the defensive ones for the Titans at the end of the second quarter, they may sneak them in before.
It wouldn't surprise me, because a lot of that really has to do with play counts. And, if the Bears' offense is on the field for the entire first half, which would actually be a really good thing for Mike Glennon if that happened, then maybe the Titans start thinking about pulling their starters out earlier.
Harder to do when you throw it to their players.
Yeah, I know. You know what? What's interesting about what you were just talking about with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning may be the smartest quarterback to ever play the game. I mean, he was really like an offensive coordinator out on the field.
Right, but, called his own plays.
Yeah.
That's unheard of in the NFL.
Yeah, and everyone wants to use past players to predict what or say what the Bears should do with Trubisky. Okay, Peyton Manning started right away, and that's a great example of somebody who was great and played right away. Oh, well, what about Aaron Rodgers? He sat for 3 years. And everyone wants to throw out these examples. Mm-hmm. The common thing between all these guys, though,
well, Aaron
is that
Rogers,
they're good at football.
Aaron Rodgers right. sat for 3 years because there was a guy named Brett Favre who had just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Brett Favre is not on the Bears right now. I don't think that is Mike Glennon. So it's what you brought up earlier. There's two things here. I wrote about this last week. It's when Trubisky is ready, first and foremost. You cannot rush him. If he's ready, that's when you start having the conversations about, is it time to play him? Because the other question is, who gives us the best chance to win on Sunday? And that, by the way, is a very important question that John Fox has to answer because his job's on the line this year. Mm-hmm. So that is part of the reason why his tune is changing a little bit, because he's watched what we've all watched through two preseason games, and it's that the best quarterback on the team is Mitch Trubisky.
And he sees him in practice. He sees the other thing he's seeing, and you're seeing it, and the rest of us don't see it. You may see one play in a sports cast, but the truth is, when you watch when you see what you've seen in practice, what you've reported back to us, and what everybody has seen, all the reporters who've been there, they see a guy who moves differently, who has an amazing release time and is incredibly accurate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a guy, though, that also has struggled at times picking up the defense. And Vic Fangio has a very complicated defense that I think is a great test for Mitch Trubisky to face in practice every day. And there's been times where he's struggled. And by his own admission, he has admitted he's identified the Mike linebacker wrong. That's how you set up your protections at the line of scrimmage. He's made wrong decisions. We saw a couple times. He actually should have been picked off twice in that game the other night. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that his protection was terrible and the running game disappeared completely.
Right.
So
because if you have that, that opens up such a world to him. Yeah. And they do, and apparently they do. I mean, we'll have to see here. It does the fact that Jordan Howard was not in the game on Saturday alarms me slightly. Do we know what his status is?
He's fine. He's been back at practice the last 2 days. He got poked in the eye, and they didn't want to put him on the plane.
Poked in the eye. Ouch.
Yeah, it happened right before they were supposed to fly to Arizona, and he didn't want
his eye to explode on the plane.
He had a little scratch on his eye, and so they just said, "You know what? You're not going to play that much anyway. Just stay here in Chicago." And anyway, he's perfectly okay.
He's okay.
He didn't get hurt through in a walkthrough.
He did get hurt in a walkthrough, but his career is not over.
How
unlike
tough?
Antrell Roll.
I'll tell you something
These
right now, fellas. I have the toughest walkthroughs in the entire NFL.
I mean, seriously, obviously. What does he have, booby traps set up around the field to take players out? Like, how do you
take careful? Are. You've seen Soldier Field.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh gosh,
there are booby traps out there on that field.
Hey, Adam, I'm Kevin's pet in the sportscast, Charles Leno. Finalizing that $38 million extension. Tell us
about poor Charles Leno. I mean, he gets a great extension today, and no one's talking about it at all because Mitch Trubisky's working with the ones. But, yeah, this is a significant story. The Bears have their left tackle of the future, and I'm not sure the fans feel all that great about it.
Adam, it was my lead, and then you tweeted out that Mitch Trubisky got reps with the first team, and it immediately dropped to the bottom of the sports
yeah.
game. So.
Proof. But it, yeah, that's a good long-term fit for the Bears, we're thinking?
Well, look, it goes along with why Mike Glennon got paid $18.5 million guaranteed, when there are very few people in the entire world that can do a very specific job on the football field. They get paid well, even if they're not phenomenal. Now, I think Charles Leno has been a steady player. I think the Bears would like to see him be more consistent. But you can do a lot
well,
worse.
This proves, though, that Kyle Long will not be the left tackle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's over. I think that ship has sailed. I think he's going to be a guard for the rest of his career, whether it's left side or right side, at least when he's with the Bears.
Right, and left tackle. We learned this in the Blind Side, people. Left tackle is very important. It's the guy on the left side of the line who is going to defend against the defensive end who's going to hit the quarterback from the blind side because the right-handed quarterback's got his back to the left side of the line when he's lining up to throw the ball. Yep. How many times do I have to give you this speech? That was made in the blind side.
Are you going to protect the family?
And then how are you? And that's what you do exactly. And you get if you're going to protect, think of these people as your family.
There you go.
I think Michael Orr,
yes, who was the real guy there.
Yeah, I think he got released over the offseason. I'm not sure he has a job right now.
I believe that's accurate.
He's a free agent right now.
Yeah, he had a good run.
He wasn't protecting the family.
Apparently not. Gosh.
Well, when Sandra Bullock yells at you, you got to listen.
I listen to her.
That's the thing.
Any more practices, Adam? What's the schedule like?
We got to go. I don't have time for him to answer that question.
Yep.
We got to get to
Adam had a good run, too.
Tomorrow.
Right. Thank you. Tomorrow. The good tease for tomorrow. Will there be more practices tomorrow? Tomorrow. We'll tell you tomorrow after it's all done. That's a good way to do it because I don't know either. I'm all wanting to get
my day
off.
Will there be any walkthroughs is a bigger question.
I'll tell you one thing. If I hit this $700 million Powerball,
you're not coming in.
Ixnay, act as pray forever, eh? All right, thank you.
Comforting.
See you guys.
Coach. See ya. Goodbye. John Fox wins. I'm quitting. Forget about it.
Big
Fangio, this is your team.
$700 million. I don't know.
Yeah, we all are. We're all quitting if it happens. All right, let us now check in with Violetta Podomatic, the WGN Traffic Travel Spots. Justin Coffin just stepped into the studio, getting ready to take you through the evening here.
It's all right. Ready to rock.
WGN Chicago.
Excited to be here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll get the show tonight. CB Mix, Chris Barnett, who is one of the producers of Chief Keef, Chance the Rapper, Vic Mensa. A lot of the hip-hop artists in Chicago is going to come in studio tonight.
Oh,
talk to him about his career. Grew up in the northwest suburbs and was a sound engineer.
Hmm.
And he was taking different jobs, hourly rate, different studios, and he was there at night. And these kids would come in and go, hey, how do you know how to work this board? And it turned out to be Chance the Rapper and Vic Mensa and all the rappers that are now... You know, have 100,000 people out in the field in Lollapalooza.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Where was he doing it?
It was all over. He's had his own studio now, but he was freelance before. But he developed a relationship with these guys and with Chief Keef when they were all in studios in Chicago. So we'll talk with him about his career. Also tonight, Mike Fouché will join us. We'll talk about secret meetings and what it means for school funding. Will we possibly have school choice?
Hmm. I'd like to figure out.
What?
Speaking of that. Have you seen these commercials for that JK tour, K-12, I guess it's called, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a homeschooling kit that you can get.
Yep.
And it's like a public school education, but it's a homeschooling kit, they say.
Yep.
And the government will pay you to get it. It's like free if the government pays for it. I'm like, what's going on there? I want to know. There's more to that story.
That is interesting. I don't know much about it, but I would think that there'd be a reason why the government's paying for it.
And it's a real glossy commercial where all the kids look, you know, incredibly happy and they're all going on to become rocket scientists and things like that.
Does it come with like an IKEA set where you have to get the monkey bars and the recess deal?
I'm always a little suspect because some of those, I mean, maybe it's exactly as advertised. Is it totally, you know, standard education and at homeschooling and you got parents who are going to be totally engaged. It's all going to work. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's exactly as advertised. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I have moments where I see things like that and it seems a little too good to be true.
I know a lot of friends, actors, artists who homeschool their kids, mm-hmm. especially at a younger age. You know
what I've heard now is a lot of parents get together to homeschool.
Oh,
so
really?
One might have more of a math science background, another might be more of an English background, and so they sort of take it's almost like classes,
yeah, right.
mini classes sometimes for different subjects.
You get discipline in your
I do
house.
Gym. I would do gym.
Gym.
I'd be on gym detail.
With his whistle.
I can see you. Yeah.
All right, kids.
Get down and give me 20.
A little
in my zero gravity chair yeah. out on the patio.
Here's what we're going to do.
Couple more laps.
We're going to do laundry. That's the first thing we're going to do in phys ed. We're going to do Coach Martyr's laundry.
All right, the hedges, kids, need a little sprucing up.
We're timing
here are the
it.
Trimmers.
All right, now you run laps around the driveway while you trim the hedges. All right, and go.
Oh, gosh.
There's your starting pistol.
Oh, gee. I'm sure I want to go to that class.
The future of Americans athlete, American mm-hmm. athletes right there.
Yeah.
I'm just the Martyr way. You'll have commercials the whole
like
bit.
The idea of that. I know people are into it. I don't want to, it's like a religious issue when you start talking about homeschooling. But it's fine. Whatever you want to do.
I feel like when I grew up, anyone who was homeschooled was Jehovah's Witness. That was like
For a lot of reasons, people did, there were a lot of religious reasons
yeah,
people did.
But that's usually wasn't for people who are like, I can do it better than the educational system. It was a religious belief,
right? But now it's become more. It's very political.
Yeah, now it's I can do better than the yeah, public schools, right. Which probably could. So,
and then there's some families
hey,
that just
hey,
don't
hey,
want.
Hey, I graduated from a public school.
Well, there's some families right. that don't want their kids going to school. Kids that don't look like them too.
Yeah.
Right. So the next thing you know, they're 800 numbering whatever that thing was.
K12freeeeducation.com.
Right, free
well,
education.
There you go.
No, I'm not. I'm not sure that's exactly where
it's,
I'm making
it's,
that up.
Here, I have it. I have it right here. I just looked it up. It's Rob Martyr's Gym.
All right, kids, more physical education.
GeoCities.com.
All right, now you're going to go down to the basement, and there's cases of beer down there, and I'm going to bring them upstairs. And then you're going to run down and get more cases of beer, bring them upstairs.
They can work on the patio, Rob.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, it worked right. for the Karate Kid.
Yeah, right.
Paint the fence, wash the cars.
You ain't no Mr. Miyagi. You know what I'm saying?
It's great discipline, though, the Rob Martyr program. Right.
Yeah. Great great philosophy from Rob Martyr.
That's great.
All right, drink this beer, and if it gets warm, you shake it around a little bit, and then drink it real fast. Because you want a cold beer.
Like, record number of kids signing up for homeschooling.
There you go.
Go
the Martyr way.
The Martyr way.